Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to the C.J. Miller Show on In5D Radio. I'm your host, C.J. Miller, also known by Claudia. Well, it's 2014, folks, January 14th to be exact, so Happy New Year to everyone. Tonight we have a very special show for you with our fabulous return guests, my friend and yours, Franco De Nicola. Hey, Franco, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's great to have
good.
You here with us.
Are you excited to play?
Yeah. Yes, are you?
Always.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here with us for our second episode of our series. And so tonight, the theme for tonight is Going with the Flow in 2014. And I remember hearing you speak last week on Masterpiece Life about this, and I understand that we're really going into a time of fluidity now. And it just seems like, to me, I don't know, this past week seems quite tumultuous, and it seems like a lot of people are going through somewhat difficult times. And so I remember you talking about riding the waves and trying to go with the flow, and I think that as we're starting out a new year, people are really looking for a sense of direction, where we're at now, and how we can best set out for the new year. So I thought we could start with that for tonight, if you could touch upon that for our listeners.
Touch upon it? Well, that sounds like a subject in itself.
Yeah, that's true. Well, however much we can start out with tonight. We do have a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Well, I mean, yes, we stepped into 2014. I mean, this is another journey, basically, almost stepping into it. You know, and I've said it before to a few people, and I've said it in a couple of shows. And you know, if we look at it, 2013 was a walk in the park in comparison to what 2014 is. So 2013 was a walk in the park. 2014 is going to be much more than that. Now, what I mean that, it doesn't mean that it's going to be that much rougher per se. It's going to be a lot more accelerated, and there's a lot of energies and a lot of frequencies that are coming through. A lot of codes are coming through. Basically, even to go beyond that, there's just such a powerful push to make changes within yourself, to let go of anything that represents third-dimensional consciousness. You have to understand, 2014 is the year where we're leading into the next phase, and pretty well everything is scheduled right now. When we're stepping into 2015, we're already going into entry point of fifth dimensional consciousness for the planet. So being that today's the 14th, we're basically going into the 15th, to the, you know, later today going into the 15th and 16th of January pretty well, which is the main one will be about tomorrow. The planet itself will reach full, complete integration of fourth dimensional consciousness. What does that mean? It is basically the energy, the frequency to its fullest spectrum that supports fourth dimensional consciousness. That means awareness at a level where it supersedes third dimensional consciousness, where we are lost in the 3D world, or what we call the physical world, and whatever other things that we've adopted. So that's what we're stepping into. Now, you have to understand that anyone that's in third dimensional consciousness thinking still and still in that pattern and still holding that energy within themselves, then it's going to feel much more intense as for you to continue to function. So you're going to have a lot of more what you can call intensities or activations within yourself, where, you know, all of a sudden you feel emotionally high, emotionally low. You're going to feel possible depressed states. You're going to feel very intense, you know, confusion and stuff like that. But that's, again, that's still serving you in a way to facilitate. So you may feel those extremes. Now, what we're looking at with all of this as we're going into 2014, you have to understand that the main mandate here at this point is to have as many souls as possible to at least go into entry point of fourth dimensional consciousness by the end of this year. So in doing so, you can imagine, and we have tons of new waves going to be coming in, new codes, new energies and so forth, waves and waves and waves of activation stuff that's coming through at different points and throughout the whole year, and there's some, you know, pretty intense ones coming in. But again, it's just another jump start, another push to allow anything that we're still holding on to that reflects the third dimensional consciousness to come through, so that you can at least step into the fourth dimensional consciousness, because that's the key sort of thing for you to be able to function enough to go into the fifth dimensional consciousness. Now, if you're still very 3D, it's going to be very difficult for souls to be able to operate in there when we step into 2015. So you can imagine now we have a year of what we call human integration or human advancement, because there is only the percentage is still quite low in comparison to how many at least have stepped into fourth dimensional consciousness in comparison to the 7.125 or something of that nature, billion people that's on the planet. So, if you're looking at the ratio, it's still fairly low. So there's still a lot of work in that regard. And that's what's really playing out at this time. And when I say, you know, it's going to be more intense, we're not only talking on a personal level. We're talking about all our systems in place are going to be even further not only exposed, they're going to actually be challenged even more. A lot of the control structures or anything else that may have held us and project third dimensional consciousness is going to become very, very difficult to stay intact in the same form without it shifting. Now, that doesn't mean it all collapses. I mean, some will. But at the same point in time, many will have to, it's kind of forced in a sense if you have to look at it that way, and I don't like to use that word per se, but kind of forced to shift, or else it's just not going to be functional. Not only functional, people are not going to accept it, and not only accept it, it's not going to align with the new consciousness we're going in. So it's like us still, you know, playing out an older consciousness does not reflect what humanity is choosing to step into. So it has to transform or become obsolete completely. Now, most majority of everything is obsolete. However, as much as I say that obsolete, it also has the opportunity to modify or upgrade itself to create still a stepping stone. But eventually it has to be either completely will no longer be functional or completely new will come about it or something of that nature. So, I mean, and then the thing is, too, part of all of this, and I'm not saying this is all going to happen this year because it's going to continue, but there's going to be a lot achieved within this year itself. Now, of course, it's always the collective, meaning all of us together, that really will allow it to move at a certain speed. Now, there is, you know, if the collective, and when I talk about collective, I'm really talking about the consciousness, a collection of all the consciousness on this planet. Now, that's only one part of collective, because there's a multitude of collectives. You're talking about anywhere you are. I mean, if you went into a party and you step into the party there with a group of people or a gathering or somewhere in your community, you already create an alternate collective consciousness in that area, which is the makeup of energy and the consciousness of everybody attending. But that is also, you know, stems into the next level, which will be, you know, the town or the country and so forth, or what we call the state and the country and so forth. So, but then within that, there's all other pockets, which, you know, interrelays with culture and with, you know, different zones depending on that. But So the collective consciousness of the collective of the planet, because then it, going beyond that, the next level of collective is what we call not only planetary collective, then we have galactic. Well, first is the solar collective, and then we have the galactic, and then the universal collective, and then, of course, we have Source itself. So based on the progress that we're making, the progress of change that we're allowing to come through, that will instigate how quickly things will shift. And a lot of times things are held in place temporarily or extended to allow more souls to accomplish, because it's like this. It's like you going to your teacher and say, you know, the whole class or a big chunk of the class said, we didn't get our opportunity to finish our assignment. Can we, you know, get a little extension? And you may get the extension, but the extensions are not that far off because there is still a certain, and I don't want to call it timetable, but there's a certain wave of frequency, because time does not exist. Really, it's only a measure that we've put on, which is just adjustments in frequency, and within the adjustment frequency, consciousness changes within. And so it emanates a different projection altogether. So that's why we see change, but it's not really time, but that's the measure that humans have put on there, and that's why we call it time. So in a sense, we're not going to delay the waves of energy coming through to, you know, to allow everybody to get on board. So everything is being done to facilitate people to get on board. And at the same time, and I think we've talked about it last time, the men of the souls that are in a position where they cannot make the shift and they feel that they can't participate, and that's a choice, individual choice by each individual soul. And if it feels it can't, then it can choose to, you know, step out, which we call, you know, in a short form, stepping out, leaving the physicality, or actually vacating the physicality and allow the physicality to be available for another soul to drop in or occupy for a period of time. And that, you know, there's quite a bit that we can talk about that alone. But in essence, that's what we're looking into. And that's kind of giving you a little start of what's going on, really.
That's the short story of 2014. that's a good frame, because I, you know, I just think about, like, even for people like me and the people probably listening to the show tonight, most of these people are generally somewhat aware, working on their consciousness, and maybe, you know, we're actually noticing the patterns or how we're holding on to programs, you know, or realizing that, oh, there I go again, you know, repeating that old pattern. But the average person, I would imagine, it seems to be the average person that's pretty asleep, that they're just going through that and, like, going through this roller coaster, but I imagine they're not really not having any understanding of it, and it must be very... I mean, that's what we were talking about right before the show. I feel like a lot of people are going through a difficult time. This past week has been sort of emotional ups and downs for a lot of people. Now, maybe that's just the people that, like myself and the people that I know very well. I know we're not all going through the exact same things at the exact same time, but I mean... Would you say that we, because of all these waves and these codes, that we're actually, even if we seemed pretty calm before, that now we're almost being forced to deal with any remaining programs that are still within us?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really what's happening. I mean, to just step back just a second there, it's everybody's been affected one way or another. No one is unaffected by it. To the degree that they're affected will depend on various things, which is basically the state of the soul and what it chooses to do within this this transformational period of time. Also, the choice of what role it will play, either it's for self-awakening and connection to the community or the group, or it can be to facilitate. And when we're talking about facilitate, I'm not talking about somebody, you know, taking a role as a counselor or healer or whatever else they like labeling it, but in facilitating and playing a 3D world or a 3D role. Because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, somebody in their life is playing a very, you know, dense asleep state, but pushing everybody else's buttons around. That is actually a servitude role, believe it or not, you know. Because they've volunteered, in a sense, saying, okay, I may hold myself back for the time being and facilitate as many as possible so that we can have this shift go on. Some others may turn around and say, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it anyway, so I'm going to facilitate every other aspect of myself as much as possible to do this, so it will play the role. So that's really what's happening. So everybody's affected. Now, going back to how much everybody's affected will depend on the progress. Now, I know that I keep hearing from people, you know, saying, well, you know, I've dealt with all this stuff and I've worked with, you know, going through all these emotional scenarios. And some of you have been working on it for years. I've had people turn around and say, I've had it for 20 years, 30 years, you know, some 10 years, some 2 years or whatever. And I've been working on stuff and, you know, I've been, you know, moving forward, doing whatever I needed to do. And now all these, I keep feeling all these old things coming back up. And one of the things that we need to understand is that, first of all, and like we were saying earlier, and that you had stated, is the fact that, yeah, we're going through, you know, another wave of digging deeper, looking for all the roots, really, the roots of our programs, the roots of, you know, the encodements that we've taken on, like perceptions, belief systems, definitions, and so forth. And some, you know, and stem back, you know, it's not only what we've experienced in this lifetime while we're awake. Some of the roots go right back to past lifetimes. Some of the roots go back even stuff that we've dealt on other planets from past lifetimes. Some of it goes back to what we've taken on, you know, as a genetic code from our parents and so forth that we utilize as part of an experience to enhance our experience because we didn't feel like taking the whole thing, but we've taken out. So when we're digging into that, but then there's also some of us have also connected ourselves, gotten to a point where we are taking on the collective aspects of programs and so forth with great love to allow, and most people are not aware of that, the souls are, yes, with great love saying, okay, I'm going to experience it. I'm going to give myself the opportunity to feel like other aspects of myself, being other people on the planet. On a collective basis, I'm going to feel some of this part of it, and I'm going to rise above it in my consciousness a bit about it. And when I do so, I'm actually streaming it and making it available for the collective. So I'm actually doing some of the work for them. But it's not really for them on a direct basis. It's done as a collective, as a oneness, because this is all about. This is really key to understand that one of the things that we shifted into is oneness consciousness. Now, that part is still developing. The planet itself sees itself pretty well one, and many of the animal kingdom and so forth are due too. Humanity are just starting to step into that, and there's, you know, there are groups that have been working on it for a while where they, you know, felt one with everything, with each other and so forth. But there's another level of oneness that's coming through. So that's being stimulated and accentuated so that it actually matches more of the frequency that's going on. So when we're doing the process that we are doing with the what we can call clearing, what we're doing is re-experiencing and bringing up old emotions, old programs, old perceptions, and so forth, and even, you know, encodements that we put in, what we call imprints and so forth that we left behind on other scenarios where we didn't have the consciousness at that time, or at least access to the consciousness to be able to properly deal with it. And when I say properly, I mean deal with it from a higher level of understanding. Because let's look at it this way. If we follow the old modalities, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, and I'm not discrediting them in any way, but if we're coming into the consciousness where, you know, we had certain experiences with people, okay, could be parents, could be anyone, and we've had interactions with them, and let's say we've labeled it as a bad experience. We've been abused, we've been hurt, we've been, you know, taken advantage of, we were treated unfairly, we were judged, you know, any of those things. Could be many things, but any of those things. Now, that may be bringing in coloration, or some people call it tainting, coloration to our life experience. And now, of course, as we're going along, we come to the realization that we need to let this go. We need to let it go. We need to forgive it. We need to, you know, get to the point where saying, okay, you know, they did this to me, but I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to carry it any longer with me. I want to let it go. And, you know, you kind of can go into the forgiveness or whatever you want to call it, you know, modality where I'm going to let this go. Because a lot of times we feel that we let it go. And in a level, yes, you have. You've let a part of it go. And so you may feel relief. Now, if not all of it has been cleared, then guess what? Now with all of this coming through at this point in time, even that, the rest of it is being exposed. Now, when you did clear it, you have to understand, if you're going in, say, I'm just going to give you this example here. If somebody goes in, dad was very abusive, this and that, and now you get to the point and say, okay, I need to let this go, I need to clear it, so you go through this process of forgiving dad for what he did. Now, when you're coming into that consciousness of saying, well, dad was wrong, and I'm going to forgive him, and I'm going to let it go, you've basically dealt with only a part of that. Because, yeah, you let go of it. You let go of the sting. You let go of the intensity of what it was reflecting on you. So you basically took part of the bag off you and said, okay, this is too heavy for me to hold this grudge, this anger, this unfairness, this judgment about my dad, for example. So we've let it go and we feel better. But now as we're going along, it's saying, okay, no, we got to clear the rest of it. We need to now look at the perfection in all of this. So here's dad, played this particular role, was very intense for you. You forgave him, you let him go, you let it go, the whole idea, okay, dad was fine, and you kind of moved on. But now it's coming to the surface. So what's left? What is left in behind all of this? Oh, wait a minute. I forgave him. I still see that he played a negative role. And I still have some form of judgment around it. But it's not only the judgment. You may have emotional responses where you feel maybe unworthy, maybe not good enough, or feeling that somehow you were wrong. There are still parts of that in place. Mm-hmm. So as much as you let go of the big baggage, the boulders per se, but you still have the sack of sand with you. And now you want to clear that part. So guess what? This is coming up. So now you come in with a different understanding. So when you're looking at the whole experience with dad, now the consciousness that we have accessible to, the consciousness is no longer seeing dad as playing a negative role, that he was evil or he was bad or even, you know, the government or anything else, because, I mean, we're playing with a lot of that right now. But, mm-hmm. you know, instead of seeing them as that they've done something wrong, we now get to see it with a different perspective, with a higher consciousness, I can tell you, Claudia. At a higher consciousness, when you're looking at it, you see exactly what really took place. And what really took place is dad played a role for you. Yes, he may have certain characteristics and certain default programs within himself. However, those were utilized to play a role with you. Now, dad's not conscious of it at a conscious level, being either subconscious or on a conscious level, but it is very conscious at a superconscious level. So dad plays this role, and dad plays the role because you asked him to play the role. And dad, not only you asked dad to play the role, you give him the script, you give him everything, all the tools, how to play the role for you, based on his characteristics. It's like you finding an actor or actress that has to play a part in your movie. You're going to go see who has the skills to play that role. And then, of course, you're going to give them the script and say, okay, I know that you can play the villain. I know you have the capability because I've seen you act that out. So guess who you're going to give the script? You're going to give the script to dad, and you say, okay, dad, play out this role. I know you can do it based on your, you know, way of seeing things and working, so dad comes and plays the role. And not only is the role in that way, is the role is played so perfectly, it gives you the exact experiences and the opportunities to make shifts in yourself. So basically, you're going to experience what you need to experience, you play with it, you learn in it, and you become more enlightened from it. So you see that now you're coming into a point of letting go and seeing that, look, this was not only an academy performance here. This was just absolutely amazing. And you're now feeling such an appreciation, such a gratitude, if you want to call it that, and I don't usually use that word that much, for the role that was played. And, of course, now you look at the other aspects of, you know, other components that came up, not feeling good enough, not capable enough, or that, you know, I've been abused and all that other stuff, and you can look at the stories and say, well, how does now that all relate? Is it actually even true? Does any of that relate? And when you can look at it, it's not about I'm unworthy, and then I create a new story that I'm worthy, I'm good, I deserve it, and all that stuff, because that's, again, another polarized modality, you know? So even saying I don't deserve versus I deserve, of course, yeah, one's better than the other if you had to go from one polarity to another temporarily, not because you're going from one shift to the other. However, when you can go beyond and see there is none, there is no unworthy or worthy, good enough or not good enough, see that, hey, I'm just playing these roles here and there. There's no such truth to that. Not worthy? I am everything that is. I am the consciousness of itself projecting and playing this whole role, and I am the grand playmate and player of all of other aspects of myself. I am the essence of itself. How could I even bring that into my consciousness? I mean, you don't have to say that per se, but you come to that awareness, you can't even fathom the idea that I'm unworthy or not good enough. That wouldn't even come into your mind anymore. It would just fade away. So now you're getting into a depth clearing, a deeper clearing, and a higher level of understanding and consciousness. You're stepping into that part. So this is what's happening now, is bringing you to that level. And it's the mandate is to do everything possible. So anything that hasn't been cleared 100%, which in most cases are not, especially doing it from the vibration frequency that we were operating on the planet before, the consciousness of the collective, and the consciousness of the person. So, you know, it was a little, you know, it was harder in a way to be able to get to that point. That sounds foreign still to a lot of people to say all of that, even what we've just shared, you know, because it's like it's been programmed so deeply, and we've carried it for eons and eons, from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, about all this polarity stuff and back and forth, worthy, not worthy, good enough, not good enough, who's taking advantage of who's hurting who and whatever, that, you know, the mind is so wrapped up in that. And remember, the ego likes drama. And you have to understand that the moment that you are the victim, the moment you've been hurt, the moment that you have some pity that you can stream up and or feel good within that, even though you don't feel totally good with it, it feeds off that. So it's basically really not too interested in giving that up that easily. So it may play out in a sense where I'm not going to let this go. This is what I want. I mean, I want to be seen, oh, poor me. Look at me. Look what happened to me. My life is a wreck because of this. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a life as a wreck, because first and foremost, anything, any experience is just that, an experience, and it has no good, bad, right, wrong experience. It's like when you go into a movie, you're creating a movie, you're not going to say the actors that are playing one side of the role versus another side, that one is better than the other. Yeah, it creates that illusion while you're watching the movie if you got people that are playing the villain, and then you have the people that are playing the ones that are being affected by the villain, and then you have the ones that are going after the villain. I mean, you can look at they're all playing roles, but it's all equal. It's not one better than the other. None of it, right? You can't turn around and say, well, okay, no, that they're the good actors and these are the bad actors. There's none of that. A role is a role. An act is an act. And if you don't have all of that in place, guess what? The movie's not going to be as exciting. It won't be in the same way as before. Now, again, I'm still talking about polarities, and I'm still talking about 3D world in a sense when it comes to the movie world. And that will change anyways also. But at the same time, it gives you an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Gosh, you know, just so many connections as you're talking, and I was going to mention something, and now I've lost that train of thought. Now I remember. So, you know, as you're talking about this, realizing that the example that you're using of the abusive father, you know, we can step into a point of higher consciousness and view him as an actor playing a role in our life. and appreciate him for the beautiful soul that he is. You know, when you're in a place of much higher consciousness and, you know, being at peace. But what happens when, like, somebody else in your life triggers that program, one of those programs that's, like, related to that? I think that's what I've at least been noticing, is that old programs are being triggered by the new people that have come into my life, for instance. And you know, like you're saying, you're getting down to the root. So it's, I don't know, to me it's not always easy to appreciate that person when you're in the midst of a difficult feeling. And I guess now we're sort of getting into, like, that's what I sort of wanted to get into with you, is if people are having, or they're in the midst of, like, really being entrenched in these programs and these reactions to things, and feeling rejected, for instance, or alone. And, you know, the idea of separation is a big program, that we're all separate and we are alone. I think that's, you know, that's a big one for a lot of people. And then we have program reactions to that, like wanting to be in relationship because we feel like we're all alone. We feel like we're separate. So I don't know if I'm going in too many different directions here, but what I'm trying to say is what I've been noticing, that is when, for instance, for myself, when I'm in a feeling, like a difficult feeling, I don't even understand maybe what I'm experiencing. I'll just be crying, just be having an emotional reaction. When I'm in that moment, it's not always easy to be like the observer and look at things from a higher perspective, for if you're crying or something. I mean, what can you say about that? Like, how do people get a hold on themselves when they're in the middle of an emotional response to something?
Well, I mean, if you get into an emotional response, go for the ride with the emotion. You know, that's the first thing. It's just ride it out. You know, if you're feeling extremely sad or you're crying, let it be. You know, that's why going back to the flow part, you know, you let it flow. Let those emotions flow through you. You know, okay, so we're going to let that emotional flow. At some point, you're going to, it's going to start to minimize. It's going to start reducing. And at any point that you feel enough that it's you have a space in between or something of that nature, now you can step back and become the observer. You can step back and watch yourself. So once you're in the big heat of it, it's going to be a little, because what happens, emotions have a tendency to shut down all aspects of view of higher consciousness at this point in time, and also all view of rationality too. Because it really, it's a very strong state. And that's, you have to understand that this is something that's shifting in us too. Because what's happened is emotions are natural. Emotions is part of the human component. It's part of something that we learn and experience from also. It actually gives us a very accentuated experience within. Because an emotion is a reaction response or a complete, in what we can call a body, full body spontaneous experiential aspect of being human. So there's nothing wrong with the actual emotion, but what's happened over time, we've gotten through the point where emotions are basically driving us. So like you were saying, something is triggered and say the emotion component comes in, it basically overrides all rationality, it overrides whole higher consciousness, it basically takes over everything. It's like there's this default that kicks in that shuts down everything else. So you may have your automatic pilot here, and you may have this, and then this comes up, and forget it. There's nothing there for a period of time. So you ride it out. You let it go through the process. Now, as it starts to shift within you, or you after you ride it for a while, because you have to understand, you know, any emotional reaction is short-lived. It could last for a little while. Now, there are always openings that occur along the way. And when these openings occur, a lot of times we have a tendency to kind of jump back in or come up with another story, like we throw in another component. Well, you know, he hurt me. And then, of course, the mind will like to throw in all these other signs that you felt that you got hurt by other people or other scenarios and so forth. So in that state, at some point, you keep in your consciousness, whenever there's a little bit of break and you just go time out type of thing, and now you step back and observe yourself. You become the observer and observe yourself and say, okay, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you have to put any reminders that you have to carry with you at some point in time, like a little cue card or something for a period of time, you know, once you pull that out and you step back, you can just, you know, have on that cue card, okay, it's time to time out here and take a look at this or step back and see mm-hmm. what's really happening. Can I actually even laugh at this, you know, type of thing, just
mm-hmm.
to get your a shift within yourself to occur. And then when you're looking at that, when you step back, you can actually, part of your consciousness starts to, you know, become filtered through again, because it's, you know, the emotion is not overpowering it in a sense. So you can now say, okay, let me take a look at this. And then you can go through that process of, you know, looking at the story behind it. Because really, any emotional reaction always requires a story. Without a story, there is no emotional reaction. I mean, it is an acting out, because it's you. An emotion is you're going into an acting mode that's very skilled at feeling various physical experiences. And it creates it, and it accentuates things, absolutely. So you're really, really good at that. So it's just a matter of stepping back and be able to look at it. Now, the key here, too, is that whenever you do stop, because this becomes a challenge for some people, too, is that whenever we have an emotional reaction, it's not a matter of going in and start feeling bad because, oh, I fell down that rabbit hole again, or, I, you know, all of a sudden I had this emotion again, or I had this old story come up. Don't beat yourself up or judge yourself by it and say, oh, okay, this, it's still active. Let me take a look at it. I didn't screw up. I didn't, you know, do a poor job. I didn't fail in addressing this. Oh, there's more layers to it. Let me take more layers to it. Of course, the ego is going to turn around and say, well, no, when is this going to end? Am I going to get to the rest of it? You know, all that stuff. That's your little comic relief part of it, and I say that very loosely. But it is to add more fuel to the fire there, in a sense. But, you know, so it comes up. Okay, great. Let me just take a look at some more. What else is there? What else is it tied into? Now, just to go back to the whole thing with Dad, you know, so something happens with Dad, you clear up with the thing with Dad, but if somebody still comes up and plays a role that activates something else, so there's still other parts of it. You have to understand that Dad is not, you know, the main activator of that. You may have carried that for many, many, many lifetimes. And that program. So Dad played out one role, but now other role players are coming in. So it's never to start looking at the different people that come into life that you call in, because you are calling in without knowing it, to come and play a specific role and start looking at them and see them as doing something wrong with you. Each one is come there to do what you ask them to do, and they're all gifting you. They're all assisting you in one way or another. So because it comes up, then there's still more to it. So let's play with it. You know, this is the thing. You need to flow with this because you need to go with ease, okay? Many of us take things far too heavy, too intensely, too real, you know, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here. Yes, you know, we're moving forward. Things are moving forward. Things are speeding up. Okay, that's great. Things come up, great. Instead of resenting it, feeling bad about it, or feeling that you're never going to end, say, oh, okay, another opportunity, let me take a look at this. You got to remind yourself of these things, so more cue cards. But in a sense, just because it becomes very natural after. You know, it doesn't, you know, this is at first. You know, at first you may have to have self-reminders. So somebody comes into your life, they push your buttons, you feel bad, whatever it is, you're going to feel the bad, whatever it is. Now, once you've done that, and don't try to stop it either. I mean, if it feels bad, feel bad. You know, go into the whole feeling bad part. You know, feel it bad. You don't have to milk it. Just feel bad and then let it just be. You know, and then at that point, it's going to start to dissolve or it's going to weaken. And then you can step back and work on all the rest of the stuff and say, okay, this person said such and such or played this particular role. Now, instead of looking at the person and say, look at that, what that person did, never bring that into the equation. And I strongly suggest that. Never bring the whatever role somebody has played into the scenario, because this is one of the nice little detours that people can do, and that is somebody was played a negative role towards you, per se, and then you're looking at the negative role and say, well, see, first of all, that's their baggage. They're doing something wrong, or that you start judging them for it, or you feel that they've been unfair or anything of that nature. You take that out of the equation automatically. Just leave it alone. The actor stepped in and stepped out. That's it. Leave it at that. Now, when you're looking at it and say, okay, what's coming up with me? Why am I feeling this way? It's not because the person said something and you feel now unworthy. Why are you feeling unworthy? What's the story behind that? Where's this coming from? And then you can play with that. Mm-hmm. But first you write out the emotion part of it so that you have that part. And I've talked about in other clearing processes before, like if you have a certain emotion that's very powerful that comes through you, I always say to go through the emotions, period. Now, the key is eventually what you can do is you become skilled at it. So when you're going through the emotions, so even, for example, the emotion of anger, you don't, have an activation of anger within you emotionally, and then you stifle it and try to hold down the emotion, or you don't go out and beat up somebody or something because you're releasing the emotion. You basically, if that emotion is triggered, you sit with it. You feel it. You go right into that emotion, all the energies about it. You're not suppressing it. You're not expressing it. You're feeling it. Mm-hmm. You're living in it. You're in the soup. You're basically in that whole energetic field. And you let it play out completely. You're not going to stop it. You're not going to resist it. You're not going to judge it. It's just playing out. So you can feel it all completely. And then hold it as long as you possibly can. And you'll notice. You'll start to get weaker and weaker. And then you can kind of release that whole emotion. And then it's easier for you to look for the program, the stories. Like you said, when you're in an emotional reaction, there is no rationality. There is no clarity. You can't access it. It's still there. It never left. But it's clouded over, You can have a beautiful sunny day, and you have the sun blaring down. The clouds come in. The sun's still there. We're just not receiving the sun. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Emotional reactions like huge, thick clouds that will not allow that higher consciousness to come through because it's just clouded over for a period of time. So let's have the clouding experience. Go through the whole thing. Feel that part of it. And then you can look at it. You ask yourself questions over and over again. You can say, why do I feel unworthy? Well, because this and this. Okay, so how much of it is true? None of it. Okay, let me ask again. What else is making me feel this way? And you can find it, and you just let go of all of that with bringing your higher consciousness. Hey, I'm here to play. I'm here to learn from this. Let me learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite I guess, people talk about, layers of an onion. It seems like there's definitely that with the human psyche because, I've been doing your clearings for at least a year or more and, very on a regular basis and listening to your information. And it seems like I'm just more aware of all my programs now. It's not like they've disappeared. It's almost like I can laugh at myself now and sometimes cry at myself. It's a humbling experience to really look into everything. But if you try and talk to an I keep saying the average person. What is the average person, right? But not everybody talks this language or speaks this language, I should say. Not everybody wants to look deeply, nor does everybody comfortable with allowing their feelings to be. And, I used to be a therapist, and, I don't do that kind of work anymore, per se, but I do think there is something, I like your method of staying with the feeling, allowing it to be almost like an acupressure kind of thing. You're pressing into a certain point, and then eventually the pain will go away. So there's something about focusing on it intensely. But don't you think, Franco, that the average person in, let's say, maybe it's, I don't know if it's just an American thing or if it's all Western culture. I mean, we're so distractible. We're really not. I mean, the average matrix dweller is not encouraged to spend time looking at their feelings. They're taking medications. They're taking antidepressants, or they're smoking pot, or they're drinking alcohol, they're smoking cigarettes, or watching television, or pick any number of things that distract people from their feelings. So what about all those people who can't even identify their feelings or stay with their emotions? What's going to happen to them?
Well, if you were to observe it as the observer right now, what do you see happening with them right now, if you had to look at it?
I would see them feeling more and more uncomfortable and maybe being, ticked off at other people more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm noticing is people getting, frustrated with other people, blaming other people, feeling overwhelmed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But bingo.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is you're going to find that the distractions work less and less. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how much distraction you have, it doesn't ever go. And you'll notice it's going to get more and more intense. It's going to become more and more noticeable. So you can't continue to avoid it, okay? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. The thing is, there's such an urgency, such a pressure coming through for this to take form for them that they're not going to be able to keep getting away. Now, some will be able to endure it even longer and say, well, I'm going to keep putting my head in the sand and I'm not going to look, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to look. But eventually, like you said, they're going to get tired of blaming people. They're going to get to a point where they don't even feel tired of having those experiences. They're tired of trying to cover up things. And they're going to get to a point where the distractions become annoying in itself. You don't even want to be participating with that. And so that's really what's happening. And that's part of the increasing in energy and frequency that's coming through and also all that's activating right now. So 2014, you're going to notice a lot more people being pushed to the edge, because you could take all the drugs you want. You can take your antidepressants. You can take your other drugs for making you sleep and making you more pacified or anything of that nature. But there's no escape from it, okay? And it's not there to torture us. It's not there because, the stuff doesn't work. It's there because the fact is, it doesn't matter how much you want to hide yourself, put your head under in the sand, your butt is still sticking out, and it's going to get kicked around. Okay? So, there you go.
That's funny.
And,
yeah.
There's
no hiding.
Exposed. Yeah, there is no hiding. You're still exposed. You're in this. It's like this. It's like turning around, and you have one particular vegetable. You have a potato. You have a potato in this beautiful soup you're cooking, and the potato say, "Nope, I'm not going to soften up. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to stay firm, and I want to stay part of my potato in the raw form." Well, guess what? You're in the boiling water. You can hold off for a little period of time, but it's going to continue going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then, of course, at that point in time, you do something with it. You're going to shift, regardless, or ship out, ship in, ship out, something like that. You can play with those words if you want. But so, and the thing is, that's why I'm saying where it's going to even get more colorful this year, because it's going to be felt even more intensely. But you're also at the same time going to see much more people awakening. You're going to start seeing more and more people that basically wanted nothing to do with anything that's changing in their life, wanted nothing to do about really what's happening, or to do any work on themselves, or to let go of anything, are going to all of a sudden start coming out of the woodwork in a sense, saying, yeah, I'm ready, I'm doing this. All of a sudden, a light comes on in them, and they're interested. You've already seen how many more people are, being drawn into all of this stuff and actually working on themselves. Many, if not all, at one point or another, had no interest whatsoever. But you're going to see more and more having interest as you go along. See, the thing is, too, we can turn around and we can judge all our structures, all our institutions that we have in place. I mean, there's lots of that going around, lots of bashing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we understand that there's a control structure in place. Yes, we understand that there's certain people that have taken on the role as play the leader or whatever it is, you know, dictate whatever needs to play out. Yes, absolutely, of course. First of all, they're the role players. They're playing the role for us. But the second part is, yeah, we can turn around and judge them, you know? And we could turn around and say, well, it's the government's fault. It's the medical system's fault. It's the education's fault. It's the religion's fault. It's about this person's fault, that person's fault, this person, whatever it may be. Okay? You can turn around and blame all you want, expecting changing to occur by blaming and expecting somebody else to step in for you. You're going to come to the realization at that point is that, why am I blaming them? In actual fact, I am fully in charge of this, and I'm the one that's going to change it together with everyone else. Let's get together and let's make this change. So you're going to get to the point where you can't blame any longer. Mm-hmm. Remember, you have to understand, everybody's playing a role. Now, people want they want to all shift, even the ones that are playing the darkest roles possible, you know, the ones that you can say are the absolute villains in this playground which we call Earth. And they're playing the villain. They're playing the dictator. They're playing the one that's actually, you know, supporting non-freedom and doing all of that. They're souls like us. And within those physicalities, as altered as may be, those souls really want to finish their job of playing the victimizer or what we can call the villain or anything of that nature and say, well, you know, I want to move out of here and I want to finish with this because I want to catch the wave of light or in this case, the wave of higher energy and higher consciousness. I want to also be experiencing myself in an open playing field on planet Earth. I don't want to continue playing this. It doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't matter how much money I have, how much control, how much ego power that I may have or anything of that nature. It means nothing. And you can see it also with people that have money, you know, that get to the point, it doesn't matter how much money, how much stuff they have, guess what? It means nothing anymore. What's happening is because they're shifting inside of them. They're awakening. It doesn't matter. It's not material that gives them freedom or the fact that, you know, they can do whatever they want on a physical plane. The freedom is really from inside. So that's the realization that people will continue to get as we go along. And it's hard to keep your head in the sand. You know, it's going to come to the point mm-hmm. It's going to be so uncomfortable. I can hide. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And I had this conversation just a little while ago with somebody, and we were just chatting, you know, and what they said is, I don't want to know. It's better because then I'm afraid to touch anything. I'm afraid to really see the world for what it is. I said, well, you don't have to see the world as something horrible. You see the world as a playground that's very intensely telling you that it's time for you to make a shift within yourself. That's all come together, and that's create another reality, another playground, completely new, that matches where we want to play from now on, you know? It's just a matter of that. If we're going to come up and look at it and start judging it, well, yeah, that's the first step because that's the part that the automatic default that comes in that's been programmed. But in essence, you come to a higher understanding, and guess what? You're going to see the perfection and say, okay, let's get together. Because this is all about change. See, the one other thing that's changed for 2014, it's not really just about us, you know? It's about, you know, we're working on our stuff, yes, first and foremost, the true. But at the same time, we're assisting each other, and we're also coming together to create the change. Because mm-hmm. together, we're creating a much more powerful unification, and other aspects of ourselves are working, and that shifts the collective a lot faster, and then we have whatever needs to unfold on the planet much easier and much more fluidly. So well, that's the other part of it.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because I was thinking about you said that this is like a time of the codes that are streaming are for oneness. So, I mean, it seems like, and I've heard you say this before, that if we're looking at the other as a reflection of ourself or, as you know, we're all part of the one, so then how can we be judging and blaming other people for the problems when they are us? And we are them, but and again, it is, you know, when we're in that place of higher consciousness, it all makes sense. You know, when I'm up in the middle of the night talking to my best friend, we're doing our meditations, and I can be in this high place. And yet, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to keep coming back. I feel like this has been a very interesting time because even then, as I've been like, I feel like I'm right on path. I'm doing the work I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm sharing with people, and that makes me feel really good. And yet then, you know, sometimes I fall back, and I think a lot of people are just needing extra support through this time, you know. And I don't think that, I mean, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I guess we talked a little bit about your clearing process, but how can that, I mean, if people were to be in this emotional space of difficulty and they had a hard time looking at it themselves, if they were to listen to your clearings, would it help them? Would it kind of help them to calm down, or do they need to be in a perfectly calm space before they do the clearing work itself?
No. I mean, if you're in the middle of your highest level of fury, then you may not be able to sit down to even do it. But if you're not feeling great, okay, by listening to the clearing process, which is basically a meditation activation clearing, it actually causes, it creates a reset within yourself, and it activates that higher aspect of yourself. So in essence, it will create a reality shift within you so that you can now see more clearly. See, one of the things about the clearings is the clearings already take off some layers, okay? It also puts you in a state where you actually don't feel the same way you felt before. You're going to be a much higher vibration. You're going to be in a higher state of being. From that point, vantage point, then you can start looking at the programs even easier because, you know, then you can say, okay, now let me look at some of my other things. Because I can tell you one thing. And I've had a couple of people say this to me not that long ago, actually. Whenever they were feeling really down, they go through the meditation and so forth, or the clearing process and so forth, and they feel much better at that. And then they said, when I look back at something that was really troubling me from after that, I can actually see, be the observer much more consciously and be able to see the programs. And not only see the programs, I can see how they've come about. Because what it created a shift within the person. So they're not from that older 3D state any longer. They've shifted. Now, you know, is that going to be the solution where you're some cases, yes. In most cases, you know, you're going to have a reprieval to give you time to actually see some other things. But that doesn't mean it's going to stop coming because there's going to be other stuff that has to play out along the way. But that's what the recordings do, is that they give you the opportunity to, in a sense, create a reset within yourself, shift your reality, and go and access a higher consciousness within yourself. So the actual clearing, based on the topic, does that. But within it, there is that activation of higher consciousness within you. So when we cannot reach it in our own mindset, because when we're feeling down, when we're feeling not good enough, when we're feeling that in some way, you know, life sucks, okay, or that the world is there to collapse you or anything like that, or against you or something like that, it's going to be really hard to step into and make a reality shift. So that's when the programs, and that's why we make it available for everyone. And you can go in there, and it's just one set of tools, right? And it creates a shift with you. Then when you're coming out of it, of course you're going to be different. You're going to look at it and say, okay, now I can deal with this. Not only deal, I can look at it much more clearly than before. So that's what that part does.
Very
powerful.
There'll
be more
work.
Specific stuff. Sorry. There'll be more specific stuff coming along because there's going to be new, even more new material coming along. But I just wanted to throw that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. It's, your next one is going to be on the 23rd, I believe.
Yes.
I just listened to, your talk from last week again that you had with Antonia last Wednesday night. And so what is that clearing going to be about?
Well, it's not fine-tuned completely yet, but it is. This one's much more global. This clearing activation is to clear on a collective scale. It will affect you individually, absolutely, but it will also utilize everyone that's on the call and everyone that actually repeats it to create a shift on a collective. Because right now there's still a lot of barriers. It's like us, you know, we get to a point where we have a certain level of freedom, And, you know, we're now motoring around doing our part in whatever we feel like doing in our new state of consciousness. But then there's a lot of obstacles around us. So, I mean, we're getting good at, you know, maneuvering through it and so forth. But many people get caught up with all of that. So we're, as a collective, the souls that are coming together say, okay, we're going to do a clearing to dissolve, remove some of these obstacles, to create new paths, and to create a new energy field that others can tap into. So the souls that are making movements forward can move a lot faster. The ones that are stuck completely or have not even started will actually not only be nudged because there's a nudging already taking place, but it actually creates a ray of light. It's like, for example, you're in a dark room, and you can't get out of this dark room. You're just walking around, bouncing against the walls and whatever else. But there's a door open there, but you haven't found the door yet, because it's dark and you can't see anything. So what this next activation meditation clearing is going to do is to create the spark, that light, to show that there is actually a door. It will be outside of the room, but it will be there so you can see, ah, there's something there. Let me walk towards that direction. So that's the main purpose of what the next one is. It, you know, most of the other ones we've done has been all individual in one way, but it's always collective because no matter what we change in anybody on an individual basis, it's always automatically uploaded to the collective. Some of them have been directly not only ours, but then we change it on the planet. But this next one is the next wave, and I don't know exactly because it formulates just before we do it. So it
formulates? You mean your soul formulates the – what do you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because, again, it's you know, everything that I'm saying, everything that I do, it's just my soul speaking. You know, Franco, the physicality, is just Franco, the physicality. It's the vehicle. The mind is the computer. And, yeah, I'm speaking, but, you know, I'm telling you, I this stuff is just flowing into my mind, and I have to put words on it. A lot of times it's faster than I can put words, so I jumble over the words. But anyways, or run short of what words, because there's not enough words to explain some of the thought patterns that come through because we don't even have them.
Right. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that because I've heard you guys talk about, you and Antonia talk about channeling and questions that people had about channelings, and you know, I've never talked to you about that because it seems that what you're doing is basically channeling, but you're channeling your own oversoul or something. I mean, what's the difference between what you're doing right now and what a channel does?
Okay, well, there's two things. When somebody's channeling, they're channeling other beings. They're channeling other souls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these souls can be in a physicality in another planet. These souls can be off-planet for a period of time, ready to reincarnate somewhere else. It could be souls that have, you know, have achieved this little higher consciousness and are just providing assistance. But you can also channel energies or pockets of consciousness, which are not directly souls. They're pockets of consciousness that have been put in there. It's like going to the library and you go there and you say, okay, I want to channel something. I want to bring in something. I want to read something. So you're going to go there and you're going to reach in for a book and you're going to grab the book. And this book was written whenever it was. So it may have been written in 1944, for example, and you're going to get the consciousness of 1944. And that's what is shared. But it's outside of you. So you're basically bringing in some other source outside of you. Now, there is nothing outside of you because you're all it, but you're bringing in another facet, another channel pretty well of another consciousness. And a lot of times the consciousness is an older consciousness. The consciousness may be from a different different probability. It may be from a different solar system. It can be coming from a different galaxy altogether or universe, and they may not match.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they may not have the full understanding of the human experience either, because some of the channelings are coming from other beings that have never been human and never had, you know, the past that we had. So those are coming from out there. What I'm doing is not even channeling. It's basically streamlined. It's streaming. It's streaming from my soul, which is actually encompassing the physicality. It's streaming it, and it's streaming it to the mind. We all have souls. We're all streaming thought forms and so forth, too. But the soul that's in my physicality is an enlightened, unified soul, which basically has access to higher consciousness, and it just shares it. I mean, the only reason the soul took on a body and came here was only to assist with the shift, nothing else. It has no other purpose here. I mean, the soul's not here for itself. It's here for its other aspects of self. So if you want to call it that, it's, yeah, of course it's self, because every aspect is self. But it's coming to assist other aspects of self so that we can accelerate this transformation going through. So when I'm streaming that, now the other thing is too, and I'll share this part too, is that one of the things that I had to do when I came onto the planet, or when the soul stepped into this physicality, it actually selected various experiences. Every single soul does the same thing. I'm not saying there's anything different of it. But most cases, in all cases pretty well, each soul will pick experiences and pathways, or what we can call life streams, that will match the purpose of the soul. Being, if the soul needs to learn something and or it wants to express and experience itself in a certain way so that it can become more enlightened based on a very specific path, then it will choose set of parents, choose circumstances, choose physicality, choose everything to match it, to create the scenery, to create the stage for them to be able to do what they want to come here to do. And that's the soul makes that choice. So that's why I say when you're coming into a physicality, you're in exactly the physicality that you chose. And all the circumstances that played out and any agreements that you've made were all selected by your soul for the highest good of itself to do what it came here to do. Now, some souls make also agreements that it's going to come here to do what it needs to do, but at the same time to facilitate other aspects of itself. So it also makes that agreement. So at some point, they go from one state to the next. They go through a shift. That's why people will go through intense experiences and so forth, and then all of a sudden they feel guided, to feel activated in a sense of to the capacity that they want to assist other people. So they will become facilitators and so forth, or they will be able to stream or activate certain opportunities, capabilities to tune in certain energies so that they can do processes on people, you know, do energy work and so forth to help them. So those are different. In my particular case, the soul, and when I say my, I'm talking about the soul came in on the planet to assist, but it said, okay, I'm going to pick, streamline, I'm going to create life streams that will give me as much levels of understanding and polarity of the human nature. Meaning I'm going to test it, I'm going to feel it, I'm going to live it, I'm going to breathe it, so that I'm not going to come from another space. Because when you have someone that has not lived a certain, has not gone down your path, does not have an understanding of your path of your life, and they turn around and say, well, you know, it's this, 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 and this, but they have no understanding of it. Either they haven't, or they have it such a long time that they don't have no reference point to it. Somebody that's on the receiving end will not be able to pick up the energy of understanding as much, won't be able to access that, because you're coming from a very different place. One that never, it's like going to somebody that's starving, for example, and the person that's not starving, or somebody that has all the abundance, is trying to tell them, oh, that's not a big deal, that's this and that, whatever it is, you can get whatever. Now, there's a mismatch there, because there's not that depth understanding of how it actually feels and how to actually look at it and make a shift within them accordingly. So the soul decided, okay, we're going to pick a life stream where we're going to be not only typical, we're going to take the extremes, and we're going to feel and experience all these extremities in the human form. So that's what it did. It did basically, the physicality and the mind was run through, you know, a set of parents that were less than awake, not even close to even having any spark at all, coming through very restrictive, religious affiliation and so forth in that regards, and also all the paths and all the playmates that I met were all, again, you know, very, very restricted state, so that I could actually experience all of that. And then there was other phases, which I think we may have talked about, I'm not sure, but because I do talk about different shows here and there.
We did talk a little bit about in the last show about how you went through.
So we don't have to go through there. Mm-hmm. So basically it had the opportunity to be able to come with a level of experience of the human condition while being a soul that is enlightened. So when it's coming through, yes, it's not going to bring ego programs, and I'm going to give it the what is shared is straightforward of the highest consciousness that humanity is ready to accept, because there is even higher. And but with the understanding of the human journey, the understanding of all the parts that come in. So that's what. So it's not really channeling, but it's streaming. It's streaming from the soul. And so usually when I get to a talk or do whatever it is, it steps in. I can feel it. It kicks in. And that's why I don't really recall everything that I say. So the conversation is streaming through me, but my mind is so busy interpreting and, well, not even interpreting, but putting words to what is streaming through, that it doesn't even keep track of all the things it said. So I would actually even have to re-listen to a recording if I wanted to know exactly what I said, which I never do anyways. But
yeah, it's okay. Now that's good. That's very clear, actually. You know, I had thought of that before hearing you talk about it, and just wanted to get some clarification, because it seems like what you're saying, the difference for you is that you have been, your soul has been through lots of experiences of experiencing like the duality of the human experience. And I remember you did say last time that you not only had your normal lifetime experience, but you also had a time where you were actually going into other people's lives for short periods of time to get an experience of what it was like for like thousands of other types of people. I think you said
exactly.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's just slightly over 1,000 people. Yes.
Wow.
Of different cultures, different backgrounds, different age groups. You know, just to give perspective on all of it, so that whenever it's shared, it doesn't matter from where, if you're from Nigeria, or you're from, you know, from Australia, or you're from Japan or any place like that. It doesn't matter where you're from. I mean, there's multitudes of countries, but it doesn't matter where you're coming from. There's a high level of understanding and appreciation also of that particular mindset, journey, and patterns, so that it can utilize and facilitate that. So as much as I'm speaking right now, the voice is also streaming. The energy is streaming in various, in 1,000 different bands of frequencies, so that it affects anyone and everyone at this point in time, no matter what. Now, to what degree, it's up to each one. But no one, you know, that's on any of these calls will ever not be affected by it in a, we can call it a positive way, but in a, an expansive way is the better word for it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, certainly I feel when I listen to your talks and things that it's certainly, that it, I don't know, it's like it's soothing for me. So there's something about that higher consciousness perspective that's very peaceful. And maybe that, is that like the neutrality that you were, that you've been talking about, like achieving this whole state of neutrality? It seems like you are very much in a neutral space when you're speaking from this perspective, when you're streaming your soul. I mean, is that sort of the goal for the rest of us humans, to be more from our, you know, to be speaking more from our higher selves and having a neutral perspective?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's neutrality is one part of it. And the other part of it, the reason it's soothing in many cases is because of the fact that it's reflecting and it's matching what you already know inside. And it's almost like you're hearing yourself, because that's what you're doing. You're hearing yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know how we talk about channeling? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, my soul is streaming to your soul and to your ears and consciousness at this point in time, and being a conscious subconscious mind, exactly what you already know deep inside that maybe you might not be able to stream very clearly because of all the other stuff that's playing out, but that's why it's soothing, because it's like, yeah, I know that. Yes, it resonates. It feels comfortable. It is, yes, yes, yes. You may not be saying it quite in that form in your mind, but making the soothing, because it's like, let's put it this way. When you're listening to music, if the music, you can listen to some music and it's very soothing, and other music can actually irritate you. So what's happening is that particular frequency of that music, the way it's played, the sound of it, matches the state that you're choosing to achieve. So it's very soothing. It feels very peaceful for you and so forth. But when it's not, of course, it's going to be agitating, right? So it's the same thing. You know, it works in that way. And then, of course, there is very neutrality, and also at the same time, there's no judgment about anything. I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to hear me rant from rave about who's doing what and anything of that nature, because then we're in the polarized world. And then you're outside of neutrality. Now there's judgment and so forth. Then, of course, ego is playing. You know, we see perfection in everything. It doesn't matter what role anybody's playing. It is perfection in everything. You see the beautiful unfoldment no matter what. And now, when you get into the state of neutrality, since you brought that up, when, you know, a lot of people think, okay, well, what's neutrality really represent? You know, neutrality means that you're basically at this point in time, you're not operating on programs that have any judgments of polarity. So you basically see everything as a beautiful playground, and you're not gonna restrict yourself from one or the other, because once you're polarized, you basically have what you accept and what you don't accept. Now, if you don't get enough of what you want to accept, guess what? You're not going to be feeling good. And if you get, and if you're getting stuff that you're not wanting altogether, then you're not going to feel good either. But when you do get what you want, of course, you're going to feel good. But at the same time, it's polarized in that respect. So you now have that aspect of it. So I only want good things. Even when somebody says, I only want positive things, you know, you're still polarized, because now the moment you're turning around, I only want positive things, then that means you're dictating as one better than the other, and you're still giving power to the negative part of it. In neutrality, it sees both as a playground, but it's not driven by either one. It doesn't judge either one, and it can dance with either one, but it's not drawn to either one. It's basically fully wide open. It's not like, I'm going to, because the thing is, the moment you're in polarized, you make your world smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying earlier, if you're not getting enough of what you want, you're upset. You're making your world smaller. You're restricting. You're making different choices. You're seeing the world very different. If you're getting something that you really don't want, then, of course, you're shrinking yourself too. So instead of going out to play with people and say, well, no, those people bother me. No, those people are judgmental. Oh, no, those people don't accept me. Those people are this. And, of course, you're not going out to play, because now everywhere you're walking, you're looking at people and saying, okay, who can I play with? But then when you're in neutrality, now I can play with anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter what anybody says or does or what state they're in. They're just, you can play with everybody. So all of a sudden your world expands, and you can have so much more experiences from it. Mm-hmm. Big difference.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. You know, it's like, even just last night I'm having a conversation with my best friend, Helene. And, you know, we're going along fine, and then all of a sudden something clicks for me, and I just was in a bad space. All of a sudden, like, I went from being very high vibrationally, like kind of like channeling my own self, you know, and then all of a sudden I had a memory of something, and then right in the middle of feeling, and I couldn't break out of it. So I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I don't know, to be, I would like to believe that I could always be in that neutral state and feel that, I guess this is what I'm saying, like, even somebody like me who can really process emotions very well, at least I think I can, it is so painful for me. And sometimes I'm just like, I just want to escape, you know, I'll just be like, I don't want to go on like it, you know, I mean, is that okay? Like, this is what I've been hearing now from some people. Now I'm going to maybe shift a little bit into the energies that are coming in right now. So what I've heard from some people is that there's actually energies coming in to kind of increase people's agitation, or even increase feelings of like, oh, it's too much, or like somebody said something about like a suicide feeling, or is there anything like that that's going on that's kind of, you know, making people so upset that they just can't, they just want to, I mean, I would assume that yes, if that's what's happening in 2014, if people are going to be leaving, that maybe that's part of it, but it seems like a sinister, like, is there some, and I'm not going to play a polarity game here, but are there energies that are coming in that are from the control system that are making it hard for us to ascend, I guess?
You know, in actual fact, if you had to look at it, there are stuff coming in from the control structures, but if we look at it for what really is happening, is the control structure still playing the role? And it's really not to stop us from moving forward. It is to intensify what we're already experiencing, because they can't really induce anything. They can only activate what's already in you. Okay? So in actual fact, like, you know, somebody pushes your buttons or something of that nature, all they're doing is activating within yourself. A lot of times we even talk about people picking up other people's energy. You can't pick up any people's energy. You're basically, you know, tuning into their energy. They're feeling their energy, and it triggers your own. So, like, even in your particular example there, you know, you're going around doing channeling, doing all this stuff, then something got triggered. So what came up? You know, something got triggered within yourself. So the control structures are in place is basically accentuating in a role, in a way you can look at it and say, well, is it sinister? Well, you can turn around if you have a judgment and you have a polarity aspect of it, you say, well, how dare they do such a thing? But you can do that. You can say that to anyone that pushes your buttons. Somebody comes up to you and says two words to you that pushes your buttons, they just become the sinister person. They're the ones that are the evil one because they made you feel bad. But in actual fact, they didn't do no such thing. They just said whatever they needed to say because you asked them to say it. They played that particular role. It activated something within you so that you could actually see it. It's the same thing. So, yeah, they're playing what you could call a negative role, but that negative role is only to assist us anyways. Unconsciously, nobody understands that when I'm saying the ones that are doing it. They're basically saying, well, I want to do it for this. So if you have to ask them and say, well, we're doing it, well, we want to control and keep everybody in low vibration frequency so that in one way or another that we can still keep our little regime in place. Yeah, you could look at it and say, well, that's pretty sinister to do that because that's self-serving. But if you really look at the big picture and say, okay, the vibration and frequency of the planet is rising. It's going higher and higher and higher. We're calling forth more and more the purpose of awakening, and they're playing the polarity. They're playing something that's pushing down. Guess what? When you have the two sides very active, guess what? You not only see it, you're ready to let all of that part go. So in essence, you come to the giving up part, and I don't mean giving up because you give up in life. You now let go. And, yeah, if some of them do choose to check out, suicide, whatever it may be, that's based on the soul deciding, okay, yeah, you know, this the stage has been set, the energies are there, everything is there for me to do it, but I still can't do it because the mindset and the body is still so ingrained here. So, okay, I'll just step out of it. So the ones that are going to step out are in that. But for us, I can tell you one thing, Claudia, and I know that you, if you can see it, if we're going to start turning around and looking at people and saying, look at these, what these people are doing and what these control structures are doing, and you judge them and you have anger towards them and you create an environment of right, wrong, and all this other stuff and see yourself disempowered as a victim and seeing them as the horrible whatever, what energy are we emanating? What state of consciousness are we playing out here?
A lower state of consciousness.
Absolutely. Perfect. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you turn around and look at them and say, oh, fantastic, that's what you're doing. Bring it on. Let's play with this. Let me help clear with all this stuff here. I can help me decide if I'm going to stick around or leave. And if I stick around, boy, am I going to flourish from this. Yes, bring it on. But then it comes to the point that the collective gets to a point that it doesn't require it any longer. First of all, the energy to play the role is not going to be there. The requests are not going to be there. And we can turn around and say, okay, thank you. You're relieved of your jobs. Thank you. See you later. Adios. Done.
And they'll go?
Absolutely. You know why? Because they're uncomfortable themselves. They don't want to play the role anymore. They want to graduate too. They want to become enlightened too. They want to be playing on a different way. And if they can't do it in here because their bodies are hibernated or hybridized, I can't even pronounce the word, they're still, you know, the operating system is so messed up that they can't do it, then they'll just step out. They'll just say, Adios. Leave the body alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So would you say that a lot of people, like based on that, the people checking out, are a lot of, would you think that a lot of people are going to be coming down with illnesses and cancer or terminal things this year, would you say, that there'll be a higher incidence of that?
The incidents are going to continue to increase, absolutely. There's going to be other things that are not for sure 100%, but will stream through viruses and whatever else that are there. They'll come to the degree that it serves. See, there's a little balance here that goes on. It's a very delicate balance. Okay, we don't want to have too much that will create, you know, enough, because the energies can get thick too. If you see people dying left, right, and center, you know, and all that stuff, guess what? I mean, if you're still not on a higher state of consciousness, I mean, the automatic default is, oh my God, look what's happening. We're going to die too, and all that stuff. And of course, we're all, you know, emanating a lower frequency altogether. So you're going to allow a certain amount of streaming to go through. Now, I can tell you there's going to be souls that are going to say, yes, all right, let these ones go, you know, because they don't need to play the role anymore. But then, you know, if it happens to be a family member, somebody that's, you know, close to you or something like that, you may have a different view of it. But, yes, things are accelerating within, you know, 2014, so there will be more of it. Unless it doesn't serve, at some point something shifts, because there's still a lot of things that are coming through that might create enough that it doesn't have to be to the same level of degree. However, the way it looks right now, yes. Now and into right to the end of 2016. But a lot of it in a more denser, much more a state will be along this year, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it still serves. And it's all there to the degree of each individual soul. And that's the other thing I want to mention. Mm-hmm. I talk about the soul a lot with people and stuff like that, and when they turn around and say, well, then I'm a victim to the soul, because it does whatever it wants, and I'm kind of the puppet here. You know, and it's like this. It's like you going to your car right now. You walk up to your car, and your car goes, hey, you know something? I want to go where I want to go. Forget about where you have intentions. I'm the car. I'm going to go wherever I want. You can sit in the back seat if you want, or you can just stay home. I'm taking off. That's basically what you're doing. But the car's purpose is there to serve you, to bring you where you are. But now the car decides where it wants to go. So the mind and the body is not here for itself. It is a tool. It's the vehicle. The mind is the computer that has you the experience. The soul is the navigator. The soul is the driver. That's you stepping into your car, right? So... of course, the mind creates its own consciousness through the ego and so forth, and say, well, you know, I want this, 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 and this, and I don't want it that way, and this way. You know, so it's going down one different path. And if you can look at it that way and say, well, yeah, okay, see, you know, here I am, you know, I want to do this, 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 and this. Well, the soul is not going to be saying, well, you can't go wherever you want. It's going to allow it to a certain degree, as long as it matches to some degree to what it came here to do. So a soul is the navigator that came in to utilize this physicality on this earth plane with different frequencies of existing and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes if we're going down the path that's not in our highest servitude, then we would maybe contract an illness or something that would make us change?
Well, you know, that's the thing, right? See, the soul is directing us to go a certain way. We get lots of nudging. We get a lot of cues. You know, how many times, you know, we're on a certain path and then we get the cue. You know, it's time to change. It's time to take a new direction. It's time to let go of this. You know, it may have various little things that come up. You know, say you need to change a relationship or a career or, you know, your way of doing things, like, for example, responding, getting angry at everybody or something like that. You know, you have all these things, and then your soul is basically sending streaming thought forms to your mind saying, hey, we need to let go of this because this doesn't serve us any longer, and so forth. So it keeps doing this, you know, the message gets louder and louder. Of course, the ego is, you know, drowns it a lot of times because, you know, when somebody says, well, I got to make a decision, you know, automatically the soul is always streaming for you to take the path of least resistance and say, okay, well, you know, where unless it absolutely serves in a way where you need to have that particular bumpy experience for you to awaken. But usually it doesn't pick a bumpy experience unless you've been missing all the other cues. Okay, so you're going to get all these nudgings and this higher consciousness coming through you. But eventually, if you keep ignoring, yeah, then you're going to get something a little bit more intense that will stop you, like an illness or, you know, a big major reality check, in a sense, if you want to call it that. And all of a sudden, you go to a doctor and he says, well, you got cancer. Now, is that to terminate your body? No, it's basically to give you a wake-up call. It's a good kick in the butt. Remember, the ostrich with the head in the sand and somebody comes and kick your butt. Now, that kicking of the butt can also end up being your checkout point, too. But at some point, you're going to have something come in that's intense only when you're not paying attention to the rest of it. But again, it's always for your highest good. So somebody says, well, we have to learn from pain. Absolutely not. But it seems to get our attention. You know, what is pain? Pain is an intense experience on a physical level. And then at times, it's emotional levels, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just intense. It gets our attention. It causes a reset, in a way, or a distraction to shift us from where the path that we're going. Or we're going.
What's the distraction? You mean the emotions?
Well, whatever for example, if you're constantly staying on a certain pattern, you know, so we can't get out of that pattern. So something will happen intensely, painful or whatever, to take you, to distract you from that pattern so that you can actually take the time to look at what you need to look at. Okay? So somebody turns around and says, oh, look, I just got pneumonia and I'm lying in bed now for a week fighting this pneumonia. Okay? Well, what the heck happened there? Well, you got a week now that you're sitting there, and now you have the opportunity to not only reflect, but also take a look at some of the choices that you're making in your life. How do you look after yourself? What do you do, don't do, in what you feed yourself, what direction, what are your thought forms, what are you getting engaged with, what are you making so important that is not important that you need to let go of, you know, and stuff like that. So it's giving you an opportunity to step out of something that a perpetual motion that you felt that you were incapable of getting out, and guess what? The door opened and you got kicked, booted out, and now you're lying in bed for a while. Give you that chance.
Right. So it's all it's all perfect in a way that it gives us an opportunity to look at something in a deeper way. It's all such a... When you can look at life this way, nothing can really hurt you. You know,
and it makes you put you into flow. Because the moment we resist, the moment we are fighting, we're stopping ourselves. Yeah, we still learn from it, but when we start to flow, so when you see everything that comes into your life as an opportunity, you flow with life. That's what it's all about. It's flowing with everything that comes along. Mm-hmm. Everything comes along for your highest servitude and nothing more. And let's see what I can use this for and what it's there for. It didn't accidentally. There's no accidents.
Mm-hmm.
We're the creator of our reality. We're creating every facet of it, every moment. If it's there, I put it there.
Yeah.
I put it there for a very particular reason. Or I've asked for other souls to help me out to put it there.
Right.
Now I put it there. Let me see what it's about. Let's go play with this. Play, girl.
Right.
With everything.
And sometimes we feel bad about what we do. You know what I mean? So it's like, I know you've said, even like hearing you last week, you know, we need to be lighter on ourselves, not so hard on ourselves. I think that's almost, is that a program, like being hard on ourselves?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Because that seems so easy, like almost like kicking the baby when they fall down. You know, there you go again. You know, I mean, this is in my own head. I'd be like, oh, now you fucked up again. You screwed it up.
Exactly.
And nobody, you know what I mean? Now nobody's going to like it because you talked and you just showed somebody who you really were. And now, of course, they're rejecting you. I mean, that's just, I mean, as healthy as I can feel in my own mind. Like that's, you know, one of my things. And then, you know, if we're getting into that or feeling like, oh, these people don't like me. And then aren't we creating that in our lives? Are we actually creating more of that by focusing on what we're not wanting? Does that make
well,
any
yes.
sense? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes, but there's a higher understanding to that, too. You have to put in the other equation. The only thing, the only reason that you're going to what we call attract or keep repeating a certain of what we don't want is to get ourselves to the point that we're filled up with it, that we choose no longer to experience, truly choose without any judgment of it, and then we can move forward. So the thing is, if I miss the first bus at the bus station, I'm going to wait for the second. And then there's going to be a third. At some point, I'm going to decide to get onto the bus because it's getting darker and it's getting colder and I may want to get home. So when you look at it, all of these are coming in repetitive and stuff like that. It's not because, you know, we're on the right wrong mindset. No, we're still on a certain mindset that still needs that kick in the ass. But the kicks on the ass are coming from different directions, from different points, or different avenues of opening up the door for us and say, hey, you know, come on in, come on in here. Or somebody else opens, come on in here, and so forth. So you're just giving different opportunities, really, what's happening there. So it's not about, you know, the whole repeating that I'm attracting this. You know, no, you're recreating certain experiences until you get it. And then once you got it, and I don't need this experience anymore. And it's not when I'm saying I don't need it because the mind is saying I'm tired of it, I judge it, and all that stuff. Right. When it no longer serves you, when you have no judgment about it, it goes away or it changes. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
Right. So maybe sometimes it needs to get, like, so bad, so big, before we can really let it not be bothered by it anymore.
Yeah, at times you need that enough intensity to let it go. Remember, like sometimes we can hold on to something, okay? We're holding on, holding on, holding on. And it starts to get hotter and hotter and hotter until it gets to the point it starts to burn you. And now it got so painful, you finally let it go. And it's the same thing, using that as an analogy. It's just the same thing. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. Look at it. How many people have held on to, say, one particular relationship? They have a relationship. And the relationship has all these cues to say, okay, learn from it and move on. Learn from it and move on. And it gets more intense, more intense. But then all the other stories come up and say, oh, no, if I lose this relationship, you know, I won't have the income. I won't have the securities. I won't have the support. Who's going to love me again? Who am I going to get involved with? And maybe it's not that bad and whatever it is. It gets on and on, but it gets more and more and more intense to the point that finally they have to let go and say, I can't take this anymore. I don't care. I'm letting go. Mm-hmm. And then they're free. And then now at that freedom, they already start to feel relief and go, oh, why did I hold on to it? Now I feel relief. And then something else opens up for another relationship or another opportunity. But as long as they let go, the moment that they learn that I don't need to hold on to that, they're not going to repeat the same one, and they're going to open themselves up. So that's basically how it works on all levels. We're going to hold on, hold on, hold on, but we're going to let it go at some point. Or it takes us down. I mean, I use the analogy from the luggage. I mean, I've used this for, I guess, 6 years now or something, 7 years, maybe more. And it's like this. Right now, it's like us carrying all this backpack. We have a backpack and we have luggages. And we're walking. And we're walking towards the ocean. You know, and the thing is, we're standing in the ocean and we're trying to move along the ocean there, you know, near the shore, of course. And, of course, the water keeps going up and up and up and up. And the more luggage you carry, of course, you're carrying the luggage, and the water starts to rise, it's going to start becoming harder and harder because there's more resistance. It's going to be harder to carry this luggage and move and walk at the same time. But as long as you keep walking and the water keeps going higher and higher, however, it gets to the point where right now the water is up to your, just about to your mouth and close to your nose, and any movement at this point in time is having water going into your nose, and you know, it's making it difficult to breathe. But if the water goes up higher, say up to above the top of your head, now you have two choices. You either let go of the luggage when you float, or you hold on to the luggage and you drown. That's basically what's happening.
Oh, gosh.
In a way. If you have to look at that as an analogy. But right now, it's getting tougher and tougher to hold it. You know, and I talk about other things, which, you know, about the way the energies are moving. For example, I'll play with this. The general way of making change in your life before before we've started into the shift. The main change happened a little over a year ago. But the basic thing is, whenever you wanted to make a change in your life, okay,
mm-hmm.
you basically, any movement you made forward, you had all this opposition around you, okay, in a sense where the energies kept you in the 3D world. Let's put it this way. You want to think 4D, 5D, whatever you want to call it, and you want to get to a consciousness and experience that consciousness on a planet that's still very deeply reflecting 3D, it's going to be more challenging. It's more difficult, okay? So you're going to have people always trying to put you in check and saying, well, you know what? You know, you're different, you're weird, you're this, whatever. And it's keeping you from moving forward. So all the systems, everything reflects that. And so that was the case before. Now the case is it's actually different. Now, the point is for you to stay in your old patterns. It works opposite now. Instead of the energies holding you back, the collective energy of that time holding you back, now the collective energy is pushing you forward. Mm-hmm. So that it's actually very difficult for you to stay in your stagnant old way. And this is what brings up a lot of the emotional challenges within yourself. And also dissatisfaction and also feeling unfulfilled and all that stuff. It's just because you cannot stay. How many people are feeling totally unfulfilled in relationships and work and other venues and connections mm-hmm. with other people and so forth? Because of that, it's changing and that is pushing you to move forward. Now, the only other part of the resistance is just to make sure, hey, do you got it all done? Did you clear up everything? So it just comes back at you any faster as your own self-testing and making sure that there's no fragments of it left. That's basically
right.
It.
Mm. So this is kind of like, is this the end of the purge and clear time, or are we just constantly going to be purging and clearing until forever?
Well, we're purging and clearing for another 3 years, practically.
Okay.
This is the heaviest purging and clearing is now, because the other ones are different phases of purging and clearing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only purging and clearing, because the purging and clearing starts to fade more and more, and it's really more adopting higher consciousness, adopting new states of being,
mm-hmm.
which is basically sourceness in itself, realization in a physical form. So source realization in a physical form is what it's intending to do by the time we
mm-hmm.
step into 2017. That is the intention. So
yeah.
Are we going to still be doing purging and clear after the 17? It would be very rare. If there's any fragments, maybe for the rest of that year, because, you know, there will be entry points, you know, people that have stepped into fifth dimensional consciousness and there's some integration work going on. But, no, is this going to be another 10 years, 5 years, 20 years? Not at all. Not at all. This is so there's the next phase of purge and clear. The next intense one is this year. This year is going to become very, very difficult. The remaining purge and clear is going to be when we step into 2015, but the people that are going to be purging and clearing at that point in such intensity as the ones that are still in 3D that actually held on even though it's burning them and they said, okay, I'm going to stick it out even for a few more months and I'm going to hold on to this, you know, type of thing and play that part of the role. But in essence, no. That we'll be done with that.
Thank God.
So. And it won't be so difficult.
One more year, sounds like for me. Okay, great. You know, I look at this. We are getting close to the end. Do you have some time to go over the 10 o'clock mark, or do you need, because it's
no,
now 9. Okay,
it's
so we can go a little bit over time. Great. Well, we have time. We do have the time on our schedule. Actually,
okay.
Let's see. Yes, we have, because we do have a 3-hour. I mean, we won't go the full 3 hours, but we can go over the 10 o'clock. Because I had a couple of, I did ask some of our followers if they had any questions, and I did get a couple of questions, so I wanted to kind of put those into the format here. And one of the questions was from a guy named Hans. And Hans asked what you are doing behind the scenes right now. So I thought maybe we could kind of transition into that, if you could describe a little bit of... I mean, I know we talked last time, the last interview we had, you did go into some detail about what you do behind the scenes, but maybe specifically, what are you doing that's different now?
Okay, it is different now. I mean, I've had many, many different roles along the way. The role that I'm playing now is basically I'm working on the collective consciousness. So what happens is when I go into an altered state, which is fairly instant in the evening, and a lot of times it flows into the day, but I'll cover that as we go along. When I go into the altered state, basically I'm appearing, in a sense, in non-physical form, but I call it etheric form, in different parts of the world. And not only am I observing what's happening in that part of the world as pockets of observation. So that means if I'm stepping into an area where there's a group of people, and so I'm observing how people are feeling and what's playing out there, and I also take a look at the resident thought forms and responses that they have. So you can actually, what you do is you're stepping actually in them, in a way, not per se. I mean, you're just tuning into it. It's just like you're dialing into their frequency and you can see their thought patterns and so forth. But you're not just doing it on one individual. You're doing it on a collective of that area. So you're getting a gist of what the thought patterns are in that area for whatever is playing out. Okay. So if you're in one certain area and there's suffering of some sort or some area where they're in battle, war, or whatever, or in some other area where they're just, you know, in the Bronx of somewhere, or even in on Wall Street or someplace else. You know, it just moves all over the place, all over the world. So you go there, and you're basically in their state. You get to see their thought patterns, their responses, and the way they cope with it. And then what you do, what the soul does, is actually streams through my mind, basically takes it in, and now alters that thought pattern. And when I'm saying you're not altering the patterns of the people, you're altering that collective pattern, so you're actually changing the format of responding, and so you're taking in their general automatic responses and reactions that they have, thought patterns, and you're now modifying and putting higher consciousness in so that there's a higher awareness around it, and then you actually upload that back into that collective pocket. And then, of course, you also put a similar one into the collective of the whole planet at that point. So what you've done is you've created an alternate response for that group so that it gives them the opportunity to have some other access point so that they can actually tap into it, utilize it as part of their thought pattern, and start creating changes within that community or that group of people or that area, per se. And this is what's happening. It's been several months now that I've been doing, and it just pops all over the world. And it seems like it has a sequence and pattern, so it moves around all the time. And you would think that there's not that many, but there's lots. And it does quite a few of them per night and very quickly. And then at times, because there are certain areas that have many, many, many layers, it streams into the daytime. So I may be doing whatever I'm doing, working with people, whatever I'm doing, and in the background it's still there. So I get visions, I keep seeing streaming of certain areas. So, you know, it's like you're having a dream state that's constantly running, but you're seeing it, so if there are certain patterns or certain thought forms or certain questions that come about, then you see it being answered. I'm not actually giving a thought myself like I'm doing now. I'm talking to you or talking to the people, but it is automatically. And Franco, the mind part is observing at times because I don't always observe it, but because there's always quite a thing going on there. But I can observe it and I can watch it and say, I've had many times I turn around and say, wow, that's a pretty darn good answer. I'd like to keep that one in mind for use. I know it's always there, but you know, at the mind, conscious mind saying, well, yeah, that's a good answer, whatever it is, right? But whatever it's streaming or, you know, it looks at the different thought forms. So that's what it's working on presently. I work alone, in a sense, if I have to say that. But I have 38 other souls that I'm connected with. I don't actually meet them in a physical form or meet them in any form. I know that they exist, and we're sharing streaming back and forth. And So I kind of am in the hub sort of thing, but that's what I do. Is I move around and go change the consciousness in different pockets in different parts of the area. Now, the interesting part of it, and this is where neutrality asks you actually to really step in, which sometimes gives me a slight little challenge, but I'll be open with you. You're basically, you know, you have to understand that you're stepping into areas and you're downloading. You're basically downloading people's patterns, thought forms, and whatever. You're also seeing what's happening. And you get to see places where people are killing each other, torturing each other, doing whatever, or even taking advantage of each other, whatever they may be, or in some cases in their own elated state. But you get to see all of that. Okay. Now, when I'm doing this work, it's very neutral, no problem whatsoever. I feel nothing, in a sense, if you want to call it that. The mind is so busy doing whatever it's doing because the soul is streaming all the new codes, and then, and of course, the reason it's using the mind is actually, by streaming into the mind, it actually becomes palatable through a human understanding pattern of so that it can, when it's uploaded, that another human can tap into it, right? So, right. And then, like I was saying before, because it streams a lot of different different cultures. So even if in this area there's quite a few different cultures in there, it is, all of it is streamed in such a way that each one can actually access it in their level of consciousness and their frequency of that they're in, that they stream through their own culture. So all of that is all easygoing. In a way, I say that it's easygoing, but it's very busy because you're hopping around all over the place and you get to see so much. But then when you come in back into the body, okay, the soul reactivates the body. I come out from my altered state, and now, of course, the mind is, in many cases, not so neutral, because first of all, it's trying to figure out what reality I'm in, because I've just finished seeing maybe 30, 100, 150, 200 realities that night, and now it's trying to figure out what reality am I in first. Second of all, it still sees what it just saw. It still has part of those memories there. So if it's seen just me, somebody mutilating a bunch of people or doing whatever it is or poisoning the earth or whatever it is, well, when I'm doing that, it's all fun and games, if you want to call it that. I'm not even demising it that way, but in a sense, it doesn't get involved up about it. But when the mind gets back into it, it really doesn't quite always be completely neutral for a short while. You know, so for the first little while, it's trying to grasp things, and it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable in a way because you saw what you saw, and lots of it is not that great at times because it's always trying to shift something that is of a polarity anyway. It's not always, you know, shifting. But sometimes it works with people, with groups that are, you know, in the what they call the light realms or the light world, where, you know, it's still somewhat slightly skewed, and I won't even go there now. But so it plays a little bit of that. So for the, but then all of that fades within a couple of hours. It's gone. Like I don't even remember any of it in a sense. But it's the first little while when you come back in. So I have to go through a little ritual in a sense where, okay, I just have to let it go. So sometimes the imprint's a little heavy, especially if it still continues to stream. So the mind goes, but it does adjust accordingly. So that's the current work that I'm doing now. It hasn't changed much in the last little while. And you know, let me throw this part in because this is humorous. But you know how people say, well, you know, I'm a bottomless pit, when people are saying, well, I'm clearing, and it's like it never ends or something like that. Well, sometimes I feel that way, too. I'm looking at it, oh, my God, there's so much, you know, consciousness shifting that has to happen all over the world with so many people that this seems like it's going to be endless, you know. But anyways, that's the answer I can give you for what's happening presently.
Well, it's actually nice to hear you say that it seems endless. Like, it's not just so easy for you. I don't know. There's a part of you're able to do so many things. Like, your soul is so able to multitask that it seems like you're like unshakable. Do you ever get emotional, or are you pretty much completely? Have you ever had a point in your life where you got upset about these kind of other people or what you were experiencing?
Well, it's not an intense upset. Sometimes it's a it's a level of frustration, in a sense, the mind, when the ego mind, because I still have a part of the ego mind that functions, and that's purposeful there, Because that keeps me fresh and hooked up to understanding what human go through and experience through it, so I can actually use it. It's not self. It's not outwardly directed. It's an internal directed ego. It's simulated, so that it actually takes a lot of multiple forms, and it shifts along just to keep every aspect of it. But so it will create certain things at certain times as part of experience. So on an emotional level, sometimes I do feel emotional response, but it's very subdued, very, very subdued, and it's really just a taste of it, and it just steps in and steps out, and I can actually look at it and laugh at it in a sense. But most of it is all internal directed, meaning, you know, sometimes the mind will stream, the ego mind will stream, you know, even the work that I do at times, did you do it properly enough? How do you know you did it properly enough? And all that stuff. And then I have to remind myself, it's not me doing it anyway, so why would you even want to go there? You know. But at the same time, it will do something like that. It doesn't do it that often. Right. But at the same time, the odd time, it keeps the reality check of, yeah, that's what humans go through. They, you know, self-doubt, self-abuse, and stuff like that. I don't pretty say self-abuse, but sometimes it... Not even so much self-doubt, but it likes to challenge itself, and then it's like to keep me in. See, that's how it feels to be human, you know. Don't forget, so you can understand. So then, when people are talking to you, you're not totally disconnected. I mean, this is one of the things too. When I was in, you know, it's a little bit. It's not so much now. But several years back, people, you know, I used to be around people and they were going through emotional stuff, you know, and I'm helping them out. I you know, for me, I have a different level of compassion, and it's our genuine compassion, which people are going into anyways right now. And that is compassion. If somebody's going through an intense time, you're not going to feel bad for them. You're not going to say, oh, poor you, what's going on? Yes, this is terrible. Why did they do that to you? Or anything of that nature, and then feel bad for them, and then you connect with their energy, and then you give them more of that to feed them and so forth. I don't work that way, and it's basically when, you know, the compassion is understanding where they're at and understanding that they're going through this process for their own higher good, and you help them walk through it and say, okay, I understand what you're doing and what you're experiencing and how you feel about it, but let's step out of this. Let's move forward. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at what's really playing out and so forth. So it's a different level of compassion. It's not like, forget it, you go out there, do it yourself. Sometimes you have to do that because that's compassionate too, because that's the only way they're going to learn. But when you're there, you're stepping in, but you're helping them at a level. So you're not going down to their frequency. You're not going down to their level to lift them up, because then you can get easily caught up in there. And, of course, you get lost in there. And then you're going to activate your own programs. And guess what? You're not going to be able to be. Right. But if you're – it's like this. It's like somebody is falling into quicksand. Sinking into quicksand, per se. Somebody fell into quicksand, they're sinking. You're not going to jump into the quicksand and then help them out while you're both in the quicksand, because now you're trying to put yourself out, pull yourself out, pull them out at the same time. Mm-hmm. You're going to stay outside the quicksand. You're going to, you know, extend your arm or extend something of some sort to pull them out of the quicksand, help them out of this quicksand. But they have to pull. You're going to give them something, and they say, okay, pull yourself up. Let's do it together. Let's get out of there. But you're not going to go in there. But when you get into the old-fashioned compassion, which is the 3D compassion, you're basically jumping into the quicksand with them, and now you're going to be in it together. And, of course, it's a lot harder to walk out of that. So when going through that, you know, I don't get involved. You know, somebody's saying, well, you know, what happened? Somebody died and so forth. I don't, you know, feel anything, really, per se. I can feel for them, but I don't really get caught up in their thing. And I know that... with a couple of my partners in the past that were in my life, they basically said, well, you're an alien, you're not human, that you have no emotions, you have no passion, and I have lots of passion, but I don't have emotional passion, you know, in the sense where I get all emotional wrapped up. So it doesn't matter if everything is falling apart, you know, I don't get caught up in it, oh my God, look what's happening, and that nature. So in a sense, people think, you're either cold, you have no emotions, you're alien. I mean, I used to hear that a lot. But that's I forgot how we got started on that, but I was going to tell you something.
I don't know. I lost my... No, I was thinking that you just seem very even-keeled.
About the emotional stuff, yes. So I don't really get caught up in that stuff.
That's
so it doesn't,
good.
You know, and you don't get the buttons pushed and things like that, really. You know, I do have some... tiny little things that pop up time to time, just as a little quirk of thing that comes up or something like that. But for me, the, pushes and takes me down or feels that it doesn't exist. I can't say I've never had it, because many years ago I had certain levels and degrees of it through the human experience when the consciousness was 80% non-effective or non-acceptable, let's put it that. And but at this point in time, it's the general is neutrality, and you need neutrality for what I see and what I have to do with all the time. You really need neutrality.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you could be as productive or successful doing such a big job like you have if you were to get emotionally upset about the things that you're seeing. You have to be detached, I would imagine, you know. But it's, I think, part of the programming of being a human being is, like you said, you know, that whole, like, oh, poor you, and, you know, people feeling better, like if you get, I used to think, you used the quicksand analogy, I used to think of it like getting in the mud with somebody, like, oh, you know, I feel so bad, come in here with me, and then you're like in the mud with them, and then you're all messed up, and so, you know, clearly it's not always, it's not really helping people to be in that state, yeah. So,
but,
I mean,
you know, you're going to have people, too. You know, things are changing now. But, and I'm sure you noticed it, you have people that like to be in a state of pity or see their life, you know, bad or whatever you want to call it, in a sense, you know, seeing their life miserable or, you know, that they've been victimized and so forth. And guess what? I mean, they like to be around others to lament with or to reinforce what there are, so that, you know, you get a group of people and they're all in, you know, oh, yeah, look at that happened. That was horrible. And they're so, yeah, you should have seen what happened to me. And, you know, they get into all of that. And then, of course, they create a nice little dynamics there in that regard. So somebody steps in there, and guess what? I mean, somebody steps in there and basically doesn't reflect any of that in any way, in a sense of somebody comes in and sees them, oh, look at what happened to me, and say, wow, fantastic, great. So what did you learn from it? What some of the experiences coming up for you? Who do you mean? No, they did this to me. Say, yeah, no, they played that role, but, you know, what are we looking at here? Why are you upset? Well, because they did that. But, yeah, okay, they played that role, but why are you upset, you know? And, of course, now you're going to create a shift within themselves. But some of them may not like that, especially if they're not ready. But, you know, they're all ready. Just the fact that you've met up with them, they're ready. They may, at the mind level, still resist it. But so that's the thing. So you're not going into their playing field. You know, like I say, I've used an example. It's like you're in a room with, say, your family, okay? And they're all in a state of experiencing this small room and feeling, you know, they're uncomfortable, but they want to stay in the room. You decide, you looked around and you found a door and you opened the door and you stepped outside. And you're now outside the room. And now you're looking outside the room and, of course, now you have much more space. There's much more opportunities to play. There's much more experiences within it. And, you know, there's all this stuff. And they're still rambling and complaining while being inside the room. What are you going to do? You're going to go in the room, back into the room, and start dragging them all out and say, come on, let's go out, it's better out there, or anything of that nature? Or you choose at this point in time, you leave the door open and you wave from them outside and say, hey, guys, I'm out here, and this is how it is up here. It's up to you. You want to join? Just there's the door. Help yourself. Come on out. And that's how we help people, too. It's not like we're going in to fix anybody. We're not here to you know, change people. You know, you make the change within yourself. You already get into that state, so you step out of that room, out of that old pattern, you're outside, and you can say, hey, this is where I am. If you guys want to come, it's there. I'll help you. I'll shine the light if you have to, but I'm not coming back in there. I'm not coming back into the mud. I'm not coming back into the small room. I'm not coming back into the so forth. That's the difference.
Right. And it's, well, it's an interesting time frame for me. I find that, and I don't know about all of our listeners, what they experience, but I've just noticed in the past couple of years, excuse me, that I talk to people less and less, you know, like my old friends or people that see the world from more of a blaming perspective or an old paradigm perspective, I talk less because I find that I don't want to get into, like, any poor me stuff about my life or whatever. So then people just have no idea what's going on in my life. So, like my old friends, they're like, what happened to you? And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, is it what I would like to see is that if there was some kind of process for those of us who have removed ourselves from the regular fray of people, like how will we integrate? And I guess that we don't have so much time today, but I know we did talk the other day, and when you came on our show on Cosmic Current, which was the great show we did about community, but I feel like we are moving towards being, you know, coming together as community, because at this time when we're really, I don't know, I feel like we're moving away from the people that don't resonate with us, and that we're moving closer to those who do resonate with us. And, you know, thankfully for that, because otherwise a lot of us, I think, would feel very alone, even though I know that's just an illusion and that's a program too. You know, I wanted to, there was one more question that one of our followers or our listeners had, and it's a big follower of
you. Before you ask the question,
go ahead.
Let me play with that other thing that we were just talking about.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, and then ask the question, absolutely.
Sure, no problem.
So in the sense where you're saying you're being pulled away from people that you don't resonate with any longer, that is part of a process that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when you're getting your wings, let's put it that, is just an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to gravitate away from people that keep saying, well, you can't fly, okay? Or, you know, they're trying to clip your wings at the same time, right? So in a sense, you're going to feel that people that are not resonating with you are still in the pity world or whatever, you know, the old roles that they're playing. There's nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm. There's the role. But you're not going to feel part of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, because you're changing too, they're not going to feel so comfortable. But once you've come to the point where you are, let's put it this way, self-empowered, self back into a clear state yourself, and then it doesn't matter who you're around, okay? You're not affected by it. Now, you're not going to be drawn to go play the 3D thing with them. For example, if you had old friends that you had an acquaintance where you go out drinking or you go out partying or do, you know, whatever you were doing, or just idle chit-chat with gossip or something of that nature, which you may have felt comfortable at one point, but now it doesn't feel comfortable anymore because you're not there anymore. You're not in that state of consciousness. So, of course, now you're stepping out, you're starting to feel different and so forth. You're not going to want to be there because the energy doesn't resonate with you. It doesn't feel good, you know, and especially when they start talking, I don't want to hear that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you've gotten to a point of clarity and neutrality and you're now at a different state of consciousness, even if you met up with those friends again and they say, hey, you know, Claudia, how's it going? And then how's it? Fantastic, this is what I'm doing, whatever else and so forth. You know, and then they turn around and say, well, did you hear about such and such and such and such? And say, no, I didn't, you know, but, you know, that's her experience. That's what they're doing. That's fantastic, absolutely, and whatever else. And you're not coming in from a completely, and what you're doing is you're actually causing a ripple effect or changing in their own state. And it intrigues them all of a sudden to, what's going on with Claudia? What's going on with, you know, wow, she's like, she feels good. She feels very empowered. And they will not feel so comfortable to get into an idle chit-chat about things with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to start asking you questions. Well, tell me more about it. what's happening? And you could say, well, listen, you know, I started to change this and this. I started to look at my programs and stuff like that, and now I've just, and I feel really light. I feel I can play with people. I don't take things personally. I don't do this. There's so much things that have changed with me. And not only that, I see everything as a beautiful opportunity to play, whatever it may be, and you're going to be sharing at that level. I go, whoa, how can we get on board with that? How do we do that? And then you can share whatever you need to share. Of course, now you're coming in from a different empowered state. Now, of course, the frequencies don't match, but guess what? They're not going to be wanting to stay in that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that 100% with every single soul, because at some point in time, they may still want to hold on to it. But I'll tell you one thing, with these energies increasing, and you're now emanating this frequency, and you're around them, they're almost like begging. I don't like using that word, but they're almost like, oh, yeah, she's reflecting something that feels more natural than what I'm feeling. And you're not burdened by the old programs coming in and all the emotional stuff. They're going to want to know what the heck's going on. And not only that, they want to be around you just to be exposed to something different and much lighter, because they get to the point, I'm done with this, you know, negative or whatever roles that they've been playing. So that's where it changes. Mm. So I just wanted to throw that in as a bonus there.
As a bonus.
Go ahead with the question.
No, that's really good. I'm glad you followed up on that, because I just kind of left it there. And that's actually, that's a big thing in my life now, and I'm sure in the lives of many of our listeners, that, you know, people who are kind of entering the new earth or this other dimension, it is easy to feel like you're, you know, in a no man's land. But I look forward to those days when people are asking me, what's your secret? it is starting to happen, I think. But
it does. Yeah. I mean, I can say that's kind of the life that happens around me, and it's like that's why I can't seem to keep up with everybody, because there's, you know, everybody under the sun would like to be, you know, connected with me and whatever else in one way or another.
Yeah. Hello? Oh. Oh, no. Okay. Well, it seems that we just had Franco's call drop. So, Franco, if you can call back into the show, we will... Well, that's too bad. That was very interesting. But I'm sure he will just call back in. So we will stay here for a little bit and pick up where we left off, hopefully. So while we are waiting for Franco to call back in, why don't we go over some housekeeping stuff? And just to let you know that next week I will have a show back on with Matthew Bueno. Oh, good. Here is Franco. Hold on one second. Here we go. Okay. All right, Franco, is that you?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. All of a sudden,
sorry.
I just got the phone clicked and went off.
I know. It's like, oh, that was so interesting. I can't remember exactly what you were saying, though. Sorry.
No, we were just, from what I remember, we were just talking about... Oh, geez, no, I'm losing it. There, the train.
I'm so sorry. I know you're not the one that's supposed to keep track. I'm supposed to keep track, but it's really funny because I was listening to your talk with Antonia the other day, and you guys dropped off a few different times during the recording.
Yeah.
And I was laughing about it, and then it happened tonight. And I was like, yeah, what am I going to do if he drops off? What am I going to say?
Well, that's exactly what happens. Same thing. All of a sudden, I get a busy single, and I go, click, busy single. You know, like pop, 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 and I go, oh, okay.
Do you think? I wonder if sometimes it's because the vibration is getting to a certain point where
it does.
You know,
it does.
Mm-hmm.
Skype is terrible for me. I cannot do a Skype call. I have not yet done a Skype call in. I think there's been a rare occasion years ago that I actually had one call that I did not start sounding like an alien or something of that nature. We have to stop and restart and so forth because of it. So,
yeah.
And then fried modems and whatever else. That seems to be pretty big in my realm of the world here. So now
yeah.
I guess it's doing it on the phones too. But
yeah. Oh, well, that's okay. At least I think that we have been definitely getting a lot of great information streamed from your soul tonight. Oh, and now, okay. So if we could, I mean, the other question was actually not a very in-depth question. That was from Joe, one of our listeners, one of your fans. And he asked about, let me see the exact question. He asked about your enjoyment of serving others. So it's kind of a simple question, but a nice one too, because it makes me think about, you know, being a healer, and it is an enjoyable thing. So how about that for you? Is it an enjoyable thing for you to be in service to humanity like you are?
It's actually different because mm-hmm. to me it's almost like this is all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. I do something else that if I'm not assisting. For example, if I'm invited to go somewhere, there's always something going on. If I'm not, it doesn't feel conducive to be there or to be in just idle chit-chat or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a big push to be in service wherever I need to be. And so at that point, the energy feels good. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
there's a level of joy, if you want to call it that, but it's really not like... I don't really experience a fulfillment per se. There is a certain tiny bit of that on a human level, but really it's hardly even recognizable. It just feels natural. Let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not doing, I feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I experience. So when I'm working on assisting of one form or another, it feels natural. It's like breathing. When
mm-hmm.
I'm not breathing, sort of thing, and it feels uncomfortable to be there. And sometimes what happens if the soul wants me to keep moving and I dilly-dally, and when I say dilly-dally, I don't mean dilly-dally not doing anything because I never stop. If you even have to ask Kimberly or somebody else that watches me at times, you know,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things I get is the opposite, when I even actually stop and enjoy something, you know, in a sense on a human level because I never do. But in a sense, so if I'm doing certain things that are not enough of what the direction I need to go to provide for whatever assistance, then it makes it noticeable. Let's put it that way. So I know on a human level for people, if they're doing something that they feel aligned with, you know, it is very pleasurable, but it's also very nurturing. The other thing it does when you're aligned in doing, you're always aligned to do something, but, you know, if you're doing something that actually brings the bigger part of you through, and when you are assisting other souls, you're assisting other facets of you, so in doing so, it actually accentuates you at the same time. So then, it, of course, it has a certain... strong feeling to it and a very powerful feeling, if you want to say feel good about it, but in a way it feels natural. It feels you're in alignment. It feels fulfilling in a way. Now, in saying that, there is also the egotistic version of it, which a lot of healers get caught up in while they're, of course, going into their transition, because eventually they all, you know, get out of that too, is where, you know, they shift everything into serving others, and they don't even look at their own journey. And then they also look at mm-hmm. serving others to be happy, or even happy is a polarized, but to feel good. You know,
right.
So if I'm not helping, I'm not going to feel good, you know, type of thing. I need to feel purposeful or something of that nature. That's, again, still in a transformational, polarized ego state that they're still working through. Which is, that's all that's going. But when you can just do it naturally and it just very flows with you, then you're in the higher aligned state with yourself. Is it difficult for me to talk to you for 2 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours, do a 3-day, 4-day seminar or 2-day seminar and talk for 14, 15 hours nonstop, whatever it is? You know, I only take breaks because people need to go to the bathroom or something of that nature, so they stop me all the time or else I can keep going, right? I get into that state. So to me, even though we've been talking for, like you said, over 2 hours now or whatever, I don't feel it. You know, it's like I'm in that flow, I'm in that energy, and I can go on for the next 4 hours, and I won't feel it. So in a sense, that's kind of the wave you pick up. And then it's not effortful. It's just very easy going, flowing type of thing. When you're not doing what is completely aligned, which is, again, you're still learning from it, then, of course, it could feel more challenging, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you said, if you're doing something that's not, like if you're at a regular party or something, idle chit-chat, then maybe you'd feel a little uncomfortable. Or if you're not.
Yeah, you know, the thing, it's interesting because I do get invitations to go to places, for example, mm-hmm. and I don't accept many. The ones I do, it doesn't matter where I'm going. It could be a 3D party, for example. For example, if there's a family function, somebody's getting married or something, mm-hmm. I rarely go to those either, or funerals or anything mm-hmm. of that nature. I mean, I rarely go to any of them. But the ones that I feel called to go, I go. And I always end up in a table where there's people that are not, you know, let's say enlightened or, you know, even interested in it. But it's very interesting when you watch them because you're sitting there and a lot of times they start talking to each other and they start asking each other, oh, what do you do and what brought you here and so forth, right? And, of course, when they get to me there's always some pretty interesting energy, answer that I give. Mm-hmm. And within a short period of time, you know, everybody's questioning and asking, and I'm getting into a sort of a, not a seminar, but in a sense, going into a conversation, which is helping them to make a shift in themselves, right? So it never ends up sitting at a table. I don't recall really being on at a table where the conversation doesn't go into something higher than just idle chit-chat, especially if they want to turn around and ask me. That's the biggest mm-hmm. mistake they can make, and I'm only kidding about that part. It's you know. Sorry. So I've had people turn around and they've asked me and says, "So what do you do? You really want to know? You're gonna regret it." No, let me know. And then you can let them have it. Then you can let them. But then of course you can play with them, and it shifts. And whoa, yeah, okay, and they have more questions, and you mm-hmm. can ask anyone that's come with me. They can't shut me up afterwards, or they can't pull me away either and say, hey, it's 2 o'clock, let's get out of here, type of thing. You know, and the people that are sitting around and usually builds a bigger crowd won't leave either, and they don't seem to have any concept of time either. So just to give you mm-hmm. sort of, so when you're in that flow of whatever, that's what
you're talking about. Right. That's cool. Well, I definitely feel like it's easy to go into that. Once you get into the groove with you, it's easy to have. I could do 4 hours easily, but but maybe for other people it might be, you know, who knows? Maybe other people have to go to the bathroom sometimes, you know. So,
well, yeah, so that's why some of the shows we started to add pee breaks in between.
You know? I know, you know, I do think that's a good idea, and maybe another time if we know that it's going to go long, we can have a little break and I could play some music or something while that's happening so that everybody can...
Yeah, that'd be good. Mm-hmm. And it gives them the opportunity to get some refreshment too or some coffee or milk, whatever they want to drink, and they can come back again. So,
I think we'll do that next time. You know, I think that we should. There is a few things I want to cover before we have the end of the show. So maybe we should start transitioning into that because I would, you know, this has been a really interesting conversation that we've had, and you know, I just I'm so happy that you came here, and I feel so good listening to you, and. You know, I know that you said when we talked about our next show. Now, our next show we're going to have is going to be February 11th, right? which is 1 month from now, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And then you said that's only a few days before you go away. So are you going away? What's coming up for you next? Do you have any conferences or what are you doing?
No, actually the next trip is to go to Bali, Indonesia.
Ooh.
So they'll be for approximately 10 days there. That would be more of a relaxed state, but I know it's not. It's really to do some energy work there, energetic work there. I was being prompted by people to do an event there, but I didn't feel that was beneficial at this time for that. So it's just more to go there and integrate with the energies there and do some work in that level. So that was orchestrated by someone, and so that's that part.
I said, wow, that sounds nice, to go to Bali.
Yes, and I do have another invitation to go to Costa Rica, which I'm not sure that's going to happen yet, but that's the second time I've been invited there to go. So that would be probably in March, but I have a few things that's going on in March, which one of them is I'm moving from an apartment to a home in the country, which we're renting. And there's also work on a center that is ongoing at this point in time. And supposedly I'm working on a book, which I haven't done much on yet, but I'm feeling the pressure to do so. So I'm trying to get caught up a little bit with the ongoing things that I've been doing, with his appointments and others and so forth, so I can get going on that and work on the book, because I have several books that I have to put together, which I've already, my soul has already made very clear, the ones that need to come through. So I'm going to have to get serious and start. I say that seriously. I say it lightly. I'm saying seriously. But just get working on it.
Right.
But, so those are some of the things coming up. There is a retreat that we're doing in July here in Toronto. Well, it's not right in Toronto. It's outside of Toronto at a camp. So I think it's the YMCA. I think it's the YMCA. Yeah, I'm sure it is. And so we'll be having, so it will be a three-day event. It will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll have more details of it. We do have some of the dates, but we don't have all the information yet. So that's available. So it'll be accommodation, meals, everything will be included in that that package. Of course, we have online stuff every 2 weeks, plus other shows. There's going to be much more coming along as we go along. With my intention is at this point in time, from what I'm seeing, is to have a lot more material and processes available for people to facilitate through the shifting. And not only about shifting, we'd like to get into a program where we can assist other facilitators or ones that are choosing facilitators. So the first part is for the facilitators to do the work on themselves, because it's interesting when you're using when facilitators haven't done their own work, because it's easy for them to get pulled away from a clear state of neutral state of state, because I've seen it before. I've worked with some people that were in the past where when they're in the midst of helping somebody, or, and I don't like the word help, but when they were in the walking them through their experience, they activate their own stuff. And I've watched them, the facilitator and the person that they're supposed to be assisting and walking through jump both in the mud, like the example you said, because their baggage was still active. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, because it's an opportunity for them to learn from it, but if you want to be a powerful facilitator, you need to be very clear on your own stuff. So the part of creating a program for them to do their own clearing on a fast-track state and then be able to have the tools to facilitate others would be something else that would be coming out later in the year. So there's a lot of different things. It's going to be busy. That's all I can say. It's busy for me anyways. I'm already busy as it is, but it'll be busier.
Now that you have even more on your plate, it's a lot. You have a lot going on. But that sounds really cool. That sounds like it would be something that I would be very interested in, learning more about. And always looking for ways to, I think it is really important for us if we're working with people in any way, like being a facilitator or a healer, to not, you know, be able to release things, and especially if we're empathic, you know, we're taking on people's stuff, and I know it's just triggering our own stuff, but still, to let it go, I think that would be very helpful. And how exciting. So, and you're moving and everything. So there's like personal things and professional things.
Yeah, and see, the interesting part of my life here is that I go moment by moment with things. I never really know where anything's going to go because you're working on so many things and you just let it be. And even this move, I mean, was a surprise in itself because it's something that we've felt like, because I'm living in an apartment and it's on the 10th floor and so forth, and it's a very dense area because there's a lot of, it's city basically, right? So there's not only lots of noise, lots of people. I'm in a complex with three buildings, and each building has 400 units in it, practically 385 units each. So there's lots of, I've been here for 3 years and so forth. So the intention was for the last year to really move and to get back into being on the ground, rent a home or a part of a home or something of that nature, and to get back onto the ground, and also to be a little away from the city so that it wouldn't be right in the heat of all this stuff. But it's always in the soul, has always kept me here to say no. I moved 17 times, and every time it's always in around the vicinity, in different parts of the city, yes, but it's always been in this area. And then just a few weeks ago, I guess it's over 2 weeks, just before Christmas, a few days before Christmas, all of a sudden, I come out of one of my little trips, and I'm just settling in my mind, and of course, the soul streaming, go look for a house. And it gave me the exact place to go look, which was King City. It says, go look for a house in King City. I go, what? type of thing. So, of course, the mind's going, what do you mean? We had just decided that we were going to stay put for the next little while because there's so many things going on. I have too many projects on the thing. Now we're now going to look for a house. And that's what came up. I went on the computer, googled houses for rent in King City. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it brought up the Kijiji, Craigslist, and a couple of realtor things. And there was only three places. That's it. And the first two were, the first one was a write-off. The one in the middle was very interesting. And the last one was a write-off. The one in the middle, just like I looked at it and go, I got to go see this one. For some reason it felt. And all the sequences fell together because I couldn't even meet the requirements that they wanted, for the place. Because, the question was, well, you got to have this, you got to have that, you have the letter of employment, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't worked in the job in many, many years. I do this work and I get contributions and whatever else, and that's how I function, right? So, to meet all these requirements, and then they wanted somebody for January 1st, and of course I have to give 2 months' notice here, and I wasn't going to move there, so I said, I want it March 1st, So there's all things that I couldn't, that were not really what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And all I said was, okay, if that's the place we need to go and this is where it needs to play out, then the soul, you take care of it. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Guess what? We got the place, with our requirements.
That's
plus,
so cool.
And here we are, we're moving, of course, right at the busy time. And, of course, the move is actually very close to the center which we're working on. So it will be a shorter, much, much shorter commute, like a quarter of the commute from where I am now. Because the center is in the country also. So it works out with that.
And is the center and also in King City, or is it,
yes, it is.
King's Bridge? It's in King City.
Yes.
Okay. Not that I know where that is. So how far is that from Toronto, where you live now?
Well, I clocked it from my place at 38 kilometers, which, what does that work out in miles? 20? 22 miles?
I don't know. I was going the other way. Us Americans, we don't do the metric system,
Yes.
But I know.
About 22 miles, roughly, because it's 1.6 kilometers per mile. So you have to work it backwards.
That's not that
far. You take 38 divided by 1.6, and it'll give you how many miles it is. So it's not a lot, so it's not doesn't mm-hmm. take that long, but of course you're driving through the city, so it's 45 minutes to get there in
right.
a sense because mm-hmm. of traffic and everything else. If it was in, you know, racing through the country, it, of course it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
the commuting and all that stuff, but it just showed up, and of course the place is exactly what we need, and you know, it's going to play out. I don't always understand what everything is, but it always
mm-hmm.
works out. It always, you know, I get the cue and I follow it through. That's it. I can't see. I can't always,
wow.
you know, the mind doesn't always go, what do you mean? You know, we're going
mm-hmm.
where? We're doing what? type of thing. Really?
Wow.
You know,
I
but that's,
it
again,
it
very minuscule part. And even the center, I mean, if looking at it, this is a huge endeavor. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this place exists. It's a massive place. And when I went to see it, because I was guided there, I mean, everything lined up. I didn't look for it. I just kept seeing it in my visions. I didn't know where it was. And then at one point, I decided to ask. I said, where is this place? In Kings? Oh, no, first I asked, does this place even exist? Or do I have to build? It has to be built. No, it exists. It's been there for a while. Okay, where is it? King City. You know, what the heck is in King City? You know? And it wasn't until 2 days later somebody came over that we were talking about doing some talks at a place that just happened to ask me the question, what's going with that idea of the center that you were talking about, you know, some time ago? It was one of the guys from Collective Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's fancy. Funny you asked that. I mean, and then I just basically explained it to them. I just briefly mentioned that this place came up, but I hadn't seen it yet. I didn't even know what it was or where it is, or I didn't even know that it existed. And the guy that was with him, he says, can you describe that place to me? And I started to describe what I've seen, and he automatically said, I know exactly where it is. That's where I wanted you to go do the talks and stuff.
Wow.
And there you go. And he gave me the directions and everything else. We've contacted, and we've gone in, and of course it all matches up to what, but it's, in a way, looking at it and saying, wow, this is like a big place, huge endeavor, and it
mm-hmm.
means collaboration here to make this happen. So it's not something that I'm going to be doing
mm-hmm.
on my own, because there's going to be funds to be raised to run the place. I mean, we're not purchasing here by any means, because we wouldn't be in that capacity, but
mm-hmm.
in a sense, to work something out in that nature. So anyways, this week we're doing another meeting to take it to the next step, and we're moving
mm-hmm.
forward on it. We'll see what happens. So
so exciting.
My thing is that I had my little discussion with the soul,
mm-hmm.
and this is my conversation, just so you can be humored by it, because I find it humorous, but this is what I do.
Yeah.
I turn around and I look at I talk to the soul, and I say, okay, listen, this is your idea. You want this to happen? This place has to come together. Same thing I did with the house. I said, if you want this to come together, you make the arrangements, you make the alignments. I'll do my part. I'll show up. I'll go and do my part. But you're going to make all the alignments. You're going to make the people come together. You're going to make them do whatever you want them to do, because it's your job. It's your alignment. It's not. I'm just the vehicle here going through this. And that's what it's been doing. It's been bringing things together to make it happen. So we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. That's great. And I look forward to hearing more about the center and all your different travels. Sounds like you got a lot going on, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, there's always stuff that springs up all the time. I never know. It just
mm-hmm.
ends up wherever. But anyways,
we've been
back to the theme.
Yes.
We started the conversation with going with the flow in 2014.
That's right. That's right. You really are going with the flow.
And this is what I recommend with everybody to do. It's the flow with things. If things come into your life, it's always there for your highest good. Take a look at it. Do whatever you need to do. Flow with things. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Flow with it, because everything is conspired to assist you, even if the mind sees it totally different. So people say, how can I change quickly? Stop resisting it. Let it just be. Let it take form, because your soul is orchestrating everything to assist you. yeah, you're going to have some mind stuff that's going to fight it or whatever it is because of the programs. But just flow with it. Flow with it. Especially 2014 and all the other years coming in, but 2014, there's going to be a lot of changes. A lot of things are going to play out. The best way to flow with this is to really just flow with it. Never see anything in a way where it's devastating, terrible, horrible, just going to be destructive or anything of that nature. Just flow with it. Flow with it. Just watch everything orchestrate around you. You do your part. You facilitate in any way that you feel guided to do so, and just go. So it always brings back to flow with it. Because if you don't flow, if you're rigid, guess what? It's going to be bumpier than it needs to be. But I say that loosely because if it is going to be bumpy, it's only bumpy so that you can let go. So it needs to be because you're holding on. But if you're not holding on, it doesn't need to be. So you can flow. So if you don't need the, if you're not going to hold on that tightly, then changes will happen. Because when you flow, you allow changes to happen too. So if something comes in and changes a certain path in your life, you know, like your life stream shifts, you know, something leaves you, whatever it is, or it does no longer match you, or something of that nature, you just let it flow. Okay, all right, next, whatever that is. Okay, if I need to let this go, I'll let it go. Let go of the job, let go of the relationship, or let go of whatever, let go of this belief systems, let go of my attachments to people or religions or anything of that, whatever, let go of my stories, let go of everything, because mainly the stories are the biggest one. You just let it go. Let me flow with it. So that's the theme.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely seems like then, I don't know, like I get the picture of going down a river, and if you try to like hold on to one spot, you know, hold tight to a rock, stay in one spot, then you're just going to get all banged around. And instead of if you let go and let yourself flow with the river or with the creek, then you go with the flow.
Yeah, because if you fight the current, you're going to get bounced around on the rocks and get hurt from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
And I don't mean hurt, but you're going to feel intensities, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to flow with the river, let it flow with the river. Let go and just go for the ride. Go for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you need to do while you're on the ride, and that's it. Just flow it. Because the resident energy right now is to flow to higher consciousness, to flow to higher frequencies, higher vibrational frequency of your own essence, you know, higher energies and so forth. So it's allowing you to go there, okay? So just you get into your boat or whatever you want to call it, or get into that life stream, and you're sitting there and just let it take you. And wherever it goes is an adventure. Everywhere it goes is going to take you exactly where you need to be along your way. And then you do your thing around that. And even the working part, you know, when we talk about, you know, we got to do our work, it doesn't have to be. If you flow with things, it's not hard. It doesn't have to be difficult.
That's the goal. I mean, at least for me, to remember that you know, just to let go.
Mm-hmm.
At those moments when things are really trying or seemingly difficult. you know, from this perspective right now, it feels very light and very easy easy for me to be like, yeah, everything's going to be okay. And so that's the really nice, that's the wonderful thing about having you come here and be with us and spend this time with us, because I think that, you know, when I'm speaking on behalf of so many of us and saying that I feel a great sense of peace and a feeling like even though this is going to be an intense year, that we do have the tools and the resources that we need to go through it, I feel a lot of gratitude to have you along with us for the ride, and you know, smoothing the bumps along the way. So thank you so much, Franco.
You're welcome. Thank you for everything that you're doing and all the amazing work that everyone.
My pleasure.
We're all in it together. We're doing it together.
That's right. That's really true. Thank you so much.
You know,
and,
when you're having any experiences with friends, with people,
mm-hmm.
it just becomes so much, not only so much easier, a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're not here to survive and struggle any longer by ourselves. We're here to play together and flourish. But it's together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we let go of the survival thing, is when we start seeing everyone as aspects of ourselves, and we all desire the same thing, to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And to really mm-hmm. play the game that we came here to play in our highest essence.
That's so beautiful. That's really true. And that feels great. So that's such a nice note for us to close out the show on, I feel. And so thank you for bringing a wonderful closing statement and bringing the very beginning of the conversation back around to the end. And so that's just beautiful. I would like for us to, I want to give people some reminders of things, just to remind people your website is francodenicola.com. And is it, are you completely updated? Is everything been?
No, not yet. It's taking a little longer because we were trying to change the design a bit. So it's still the old one, and it's very limited to what you can access on that one yet. But if there's still resources there, but there will be, the new one has everything, and that's that should be out very soon. I just saw some more final sample ones that looked more in alignment with what we wanted, so that should move faster now.
Mm-hmm. Great, and then there's also Masterpiece Life with Antonia Huggins. That's that masterpiecelife.com, and that has all the links to your clearings, which is really nicely done. And then just to
collective.
Give people, then there's Collective Evolution. Collective
mm-hmm.
Evolution. Was it Collective Dash Evolution?
Yes, Collective Dash Evolution.com.
Okay, great. And they just came out with a new documentary or something, or they're
very shortly. They have mm-hmm. the trailer. The new one should be out within a couple of weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So this is the third one that they're doing. It's Collective Evolution 3: The Shift. It's called.
Ooh, that'll be exciting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the other one before that was The Human Experience, and the one before that was just Collective Evolution, something I can't recall exactly. Mm-hmm. But
I've seen, I think one of them, or I'm not sure which one it was. But so are you going to actually be in that? Are you?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I'm in all
great.
Three of them.
Oh.
But there
cool.
are, you know, there are other speakers, and then there's also. Mm-hmm. There's also the gang from Collective Evolution themselves in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah,
it's
an exciting
yeah.
finished product, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's exciting. And your son is in, Mark, is that his name?
Yes, Mark DeNicola.
Yeah, he's in Collective Evolution, too. And
he's part of the team, yes.
Right, right. So those guys are great. And I also, I think I always have a lot of links below and in the blog talk in the window underneath where the video player is. I also want to remind people that they can access my website, and I have a lot of archived radio shows there, and that's wholeearthhealing.com. I'm CJ Miller. And also, I want to encourage people to friend me on Facebook, and that way you can keep updated as to when the radio shows are. And also, we're going to be maybe doing something where we have more of an open forum for questions for Franco for our next show. On Facebook, I'm Claudia Helmke Miller. And again, I'll have that below, and also on my YouTube page. I just want everybody to know that there's a lot of resources that I have. And, you know, I have a lot of different people that I'm working with that are very high vibrational, Franco being one of them. And then my other show that I'm doing on a regular basis is with Matthew Bueno, who is a really awesome shaman healer. And next week, I'll be back on with Matthew Bueno, and that will be next Tuesday. I'm not sure of the date of next Tuesday at this point, but next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock with Matthew Bueno. And tomorrow night I will be with Helene Lipson on Sovereign Media. We'll be interviewing Nora Harald, who's going to be at the City of Angels Conference, Cosmic Awakening Conference. And just to remind people, if they want to go to that conference or have any information about it, in5devents.com. It's going to be an awesome thing out in L.A., in the City of Angels. And I'll be there with Helene Lipson, Greg Prescott, and a whole bunch of us, Larry Bazell. And we did invite you, Franco, but I understand it's kind of last minute that you couldn't come. But we hope to see you sometime. I would love to see you for an event before too long goes by.
And, yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be great. So, well, thank you again so much for being with us. And I want to thank all of our listeners for being here with us tonight and sharing in this space and you know, just feeling a lot of love and giving a big hug out to everyone and looking forward to connecting with you the next time. So,
absolutely. Let's all have to go out and play. Have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much, Franco, for being with us. And thanks, everybody. And have a beautiful night.
Good night to everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.